The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Now,
he gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I liked them, too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here, and that means one thing for NFL fans, the opening of the regular season tonight. Is it NBC? Denver in Baltimore with the game opener, the season opener for the NFL. I'm excited. I know where I'll be in front of my TV tonight, right?
Watching Bar Rescue.
Everybody on board with watching?
Paul, heck yeah.
Now, you don't watch games on the Patriots. Oh, you'll be watching
One?
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll be watching until I fall asleep sometime after halftime.
Right. And I'll likely be watching the first Monday night game, the 7 o'clock one. Yeah. I'll watch that one, too.
Okay.
The 10:15, I probably won't watch.
Right. So,
which one's first?
Big night tonight.
Washington,
Eagles.
Philly.
Yeah.
As far as the
That's
Patriots
intriguing.
Go, preparation continues for the Buffalo Bills Sunday at 1 in Buffalo. Gronk out there again in pads and practice doing some team drills, catching some passes from Tom Brady.
Now, was he doing some team drills?
He's looking fine.
I need to be out
there. Well,
we
don't really know because when the 11-on-11 happened, other people, we're not out there.
On Monday when I was out there, people were reporting that he was doing team drills. And it was that pre-practice walkthrough crap.
Right.
You know, they were running some screen passes, and he was running out and kind of just, that's not team drills.
Right.
To me, team drills is he's doing something.
But the progress is being made. He actually spoke yesterday, was very careful with his words, obviously stuck to the talking points about, you know, every day is day by day, making progress, going in the right direction, excited to be out there with his teammates, loves football.
It pisses me off that people were criticizing him, too.
Yeah, why?
It just makes me, like, what did you expect
Who
from him?
Who criticized him?
In the locker room, people.
Is this straw man?
Yeah, I don't.
Straw man criticized him?
No. These were actual people. I don't know if they said it media-wise, tweeted it, but I'm just talking about people breaking up the huddle around him, kind of, oh, how many times are you going to say day by day?
Well, how many times are you going to ask them the same question?
Right, and what did you expect him to say?
Right.
He knows he's not an overly intelligent man. He knows he slips up occasionally. And he knows he could get in really big trouble with the HC or the NEP if he does. Like, he's under pressure. And, you know, I got into the same fight with Mike Giardi at one point, ripping Nate Solder for when he handled
Mike
the
Giardi
post.
Mike Giardi of SSC and SSC.
Yeah. And, I mean, what do you expect from these guys? To just, like, go balls out? I'm going to say whatever I want. Screw Bill?
Right.
That's career suicide.
Right.
Why would you ever do
Why
such a
thing?
Why
would you do that?
And they don't gain from it either. It's not like they make money because they gave you a good answer. No, they make money because Bill keeps him in the game plan and he catches 17 touchdown passes. I could do without the criticism.
Okay.
Every once in a while, a rant comes out of nowhere that I would have no idea was coming.
Yeah.
That was another one. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I like Gronk, too. He's my guy.
We know.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady spoke yesterday. You know, the Bills are a dangerous team.
Yeah.
They've got some playmakers on
they
offense.
They actually do. This isn't the Browns.
No, they do.
2010
and those playmakers have given the Patriots trouble.
Yes, they have.
Right down to Fred Jackson.
And if you remember last year, C.J. Spiller started that season against the Jets with 169 yards, and kind of that catapulted him into what he became, a 6 yards a carry type back.
We've got a fly the size of the Goodyear blimp flying around here.
Yeah, the only thing about that, and that's absolutely true, but the Bills got absolutely obliterated in the game, mm-hmm. which is sort of... what I kind of expect. I expect Spiller to have some success on Sunday. But
me too, based on the tackling I saw in the preseason.
I don't expect the game to be close in any way.
All right.
I did enjoy E.J. Manuel's answer to, can anyone on the Patriots cover Stevie Johnson or stop Stevie Johnson? Stevie doesn't think so. That's a good answer if you're the quarterback. You're not taking any kind of shot at your receiver. You're not saying it was a dumb thing. And he believes that.
Yeah, well, both Belichick and Brady were trying attempted to be baited into that Stevie Johnson conversation, but neither one were having it.
I didn't really understand the questions that people were asking.
Yeah. They were trying to be funny about it.
Good news for you, Fred. This is going to be one of those weeks, finally, that the other team talked trash and they're going to lose. You always say, the Patriots are going to lay the smack down. They talk smack. But it's actually going to happen this week. The Patriots are going to lay the smack down.
Well, I don't think they needed the extra bulletin board material this week.
No.
It doesn't look good for the Bills. Anything can happen. I could see scenarios where this becomes a dog match, but I was listening to the radio this morning.
Dog match. What does that mean?
I do too. 38-14.
Dog match.
I was listening to the radio this morning. Jerry Sullivan, who covers the Bills in Buffalo, was on, and he was like 4-12 for this team. It's a mess. And he's covered the Bills for a long time. So
he's seen a lot of messes.
Yeah.
It'll depend on. I mean, I think that's probably a ballpark, but it's like we always talk. It's just the quarterback. I mean, you have a young quarterback. Is he going to stamp himself as, the class of last year, which were playoff contenders, or even Tannehill, who was good, not great, but good, or does he have a bad rookie quarterback season? I mean, it's all going to be kind of on his shoulders.
But you look at Kaepernick and you look at Russell Wilson, those guys were backed up by good defenses, and I think a young quarterback needs that.
Well, and he has the potential, I think, to have a decent defense, not good. And if they need to get healthy, Bird and Gilmore need to get healthy. But I mean, you have a decent front.
But you got Bird who wants out. You got Gilmore who is out.
Right. No, not right now. I'm just saying. Maybe, midway through the season, if Mario Williams is having a good year and Kyle Williams is having a good year and you get Gilmore back and you have
Jerry
Bird
Sullivan
at least
called Mario Williams a fraud.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
They don't like him in Buffalo. That hasn't really worked out.
Well, they're used to Bruce Smith. They're still living off Bruce Smith and,
I guess, but you kind of got this guy, so why do you need to...
Plus, Bruce Smith was 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500 is the domestic toll-free number. We got a lot of international ones on our website you can check out. Or 508-298-0398 is the traditional ACE ticket hotline.
Big news, Freddie.
Yeah?
The TB12 Center is opening.
What is the TB12 Center?
I don't really know.
Did I swallow that fly?
If so, you might need to go to the TB12 Sports Therapy Center. The sign is up on the side of Patriot Place.
At Patriot Place, yep.
It is not open. It's expected to open this month sometime. And there's not a lot of details out there. He talked a little bit about it in Men's Health previously, but it's going to be some sort of training facility with, trainers and advice and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not just, from what I understand, just working out. It's nutrition. It's
everything he does.
Yeah.
I don't know if that includes yoga and nutrition everything, kind of getting yourself in position to succeed.
Yeah.
And he talked about a lot of guys work hard, but if you work hard doing the wrong things, you don't see the results you should get out of the work.
Right.
And sounds like he's kind of going down that road. But it's the first time I think we've seen him trying to monetize the TB12. We've seen that hat for so long, and even fans wanted to buy it. You couldn't buy it. It's the first time we're seeing the Tom Brady personal logo be put to use in a business way.
Yep, yep.
And I found that interesting.
Well, maybe we'll have you do an in-depth story where you actually go in and get some training and sort of like you did the combine workout that time.
And I'd actually really be interested more so in the training and in the like the nutritional part.
Yeah.
Because you know I have a lot of issues. Maybe they could actually clear some of them up.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't have the answer as to when, but he did an interview with CNBC about this.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's aired yet.
No, but, I don't think it has.
Yeah.
But I know he has done it because he did it here with our crew here. So I'm not exactly sure when that will be out, but he talked about that as well.
I mean, that's pretty nice. You want to start a business and you get an interview with CNBC. I mean, a lot of small business owners would love that.
Right. Well, he's not a small business owner.
Yeah.
He's Tom Brady, Giselle's husband. I mean, there's a lot of connections there. Robert Kraft's employee. There's a lot of connections that help him.
Where's Eric? Is he here today?
You're going to chew potato chips in the microphone
it's
now?
Like
can you actually hear that?
I mean, is playing those, the role of Eric
for those,
is
for those who aren't deaf, I mean, can you hear that?
No, Eric does it with gum.
Yes.
And food.
And Fred yells at him for it.
Well, we all chew food. That's
Well, the food is different.
But you should try
chips
not to.
Is a little different than just food.
You should try not to. Now he's getting pissy.
Right.
He turns off his mic.
So
how about just
Eric?
Not chewing potato chips in the microphone?
It's lunchtime.
Oh, boy. All right. We got picks that we're going to do today for the first time this season. Obviously, we got to get that Thursday game in. We'd be doing it Thursday anyway. So that's exciting. And
I won last year, so I'll be defending my title.
I thought I won. Didn't I win last year?
You guys are insane.
I won
deceives himself into thinking that he wins all the time.
That's right. I just won the spread, right? Because I missed a couple of weeks. But with the week,
seriously, where is Eric?
He's upstairs. I said, "Are you coming down?" He said, "No."
Okay.
So I walked away.
So that means he's doing. He figures he'll do Rook. Maybe see
another 2 hours of negativity because all I read of emails yesterday.
Well,
was...
I got to read this one email. Speaking of that, Fred from Halifax, Nova Scotia says, "All I can say is wow. I just finished listening to the September 4th episode of Patriots Playbook." Which premiered again for the season yesterday.
Season premiere.
By no means a homer, and I'm well aware that the Patriots are retooling on offense, but honest to Jesus, to tune into 2 hours of the most negative show I've ever heard was just amazing. If you didn't know what team they were talking about, you could easily assume it was the Jets or the Raiders. Eric and John spent the first hour trying to outdo each other on how bad the Patriots will suck. The low mark was John stating that losing to the Finns in Miami was likely. You also really get the feeling that Eric would rather get kicked in the nuts with a frozen boot than work for the Patriots. For someone who is so worldly and smart, why does he torture himself on a daily basis? It's nice to listen to your show that has a good balance of opinions and not just two of the most negative guys feeding off each other. Keep up the good work and look forward to another good season of both Patriots football and PFW on the radio.
Wow.
So, I told Eric that he was getting negative comments, and he said they weren't negative. He said, you know, he said 10-6 was what he thought the record would be.
And I'm not far from that. It just sounds like they kind of beat it home.
Robert says that the TB12 interview on CNBC was available yesterday.
Well, it was up there yesterday.
And he sends a link to it. So,
well, if Mike Haku, if you're listening, could you add that link to my blog entry on the TB12 training facility?
There you go.
That'd be a nice ad.
Maybe Chris. Chris isn't in today. Chris had an interesting email because our fantasy football champ show at 4 o'clock, you know, helps out a lot of people with their draft and roster advice. And Chris always sends in at least one email per show. And the email yesterday was, "Here's my draft. Yahoo gave it a D+. I just wanted to know what you guys thought." And I could just picture Chris, you know, doing this draft and then getting his D+. Grade from Yahoo and be like ready to jump off a bridge.
Good to see. Well, never mind. He's not here. I don't want to waste it.
I did have.
Sure. He took a swan dive off the Mystic River Bridge 3 hours ago.
I did have a little perception, local, national type topic. I was listening when I was going to TV last night. Adam Jones had some guy on from, I think, Yahoo, Yard Barker blog or. I don't know who he was. I never heard of him, I'm going to be honest with you. But he's supposedly a national observer of the NFL.
Peter King?
No.
Oh.
And he asked him, you know, so what are your expectations for this Patriots team? And the guy said, well, I fully expect them to be playing in MetLife Stadium in February for the Super Bowl. And I was like, to me, that was pretty interesting, sort of the way he so emphatically led with it. And then he talked for a couple of sentences, and he basically pulled out Paul's argument. Now, admittedly, that you're basically putting a lot of faith here in just Belichick and Brady, and they always win. He said that, and I was like, all right, I just lost any faith in your, like, credibility.
That's idiotic.
Like, because he went on to, like, list, like, you know, the questions and the offense and the young play. But you fully expect them. Well,
yeah,
so you're just doing,
things don't...
you're doing the Paul Perillo. Well, just he seems to always work out for
right.
Brady
no,
and Belichick.
But to me, it's a little bit different to say I fully expect them to, you know, to win double-digit games and win the AFC East because of Brady and Belichick.
Plus, you work for the team.
I fully expect them to be in the Super Bowl because of Brady and Belichick. I mean, that's a little bit of a jump.
Especially for you, who thinks Brady actually stinks in the postseason.
Well, that's what I thought you when you said, and then he pulled a Paul, and I thought you, you know, I actually thought there was going to be another one to join me on that. But
and he went with, you know, in the postseason, who are you going to pick? You're going to pick Brady? You know, he said how a chic pick was the Bengals. But I just don't see Brady losing to Andy Dalton. And Houston's another team. I would take Brady over Schaub. And I'm thinking, well, last year you probably would have said, I'll take Brady over Flacco. Except Flacco went on to beat you and win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he's sort of outplayed him several times in a row now. Fred. You know how, you know, we're so close. We see the warts. We overemphasize the warts. We get like overly negative. And I truly believe that is the case.
No question.
And I wanted to use this guy as an example of the counter argument, the national view, the Patriots are going to be in the Super Bowl. And then when he kept talking, he lost me completely.
Okay.
Good.
What else we got?
We now are checkmarking guys that we don't even remember who they were.
Unnamed jag on the radio.
As we talked about yesterday, we're in the midst of this new schedule change. So at one point, Andy will have to run down to the locker room.
Or Paul, who just told you he would do it.
I'll have to do it today.
Okay.
Although I don't really know why. What do we? Who do you want to get to know, Fred?
Who do I want to get to know?
Who do you want to get to know?
That we haven't already.
We can always
known?
Do. I do have one already on Adrian Wilson, but he's on IR, so I'd rather get somebody else. But I mean, he's still part of the team, and he's a prominent player, so we could run that if we had to. But I'd like to get another one.
Yeah,
Joe Valano.
Yeah, I think people would want to know Joe Valano. He seems to be a little bit of a fan favorite. You know,
fan favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. Any of the rookies
during the blog, a lot of people were. You know, what do you think of the Joe Valano guy?
I also forgot the questions.
Make them up. You know, you can have different questions. You don't have to do the same ones.
Well, and we know some of them.
We like to have a base of the questions to be
who would play
similar.
You in a movie?
Right. What were your first impressions of Bill Belichick?
Who was your first girlfriend?
Yeah.
Did you get to second base?
Yeah, we usually leave that part out.
Oh.
You know, that's assault, brother.
Well, especially since sometimes they give you, like, the name and everything. You don't really want to know the exact details.
Like Tommy Kelly. I mean, he's been carrying a torch for about 25 years.
Yeah. It's like he's hoping that, like, she'll contact him or something.
Right. But don't tell my wife.
All right. So what else do we have going into this game? What about tonight, briefly, on this game tonight? Anything?
Interesting game.
Obviously, you're looking at to see if Welker plays and how well he plays with
Manning. Is Welker questionable?
He's got the ankle.
He's healthy and he's going to play.
He's been practicing. I didn't know he was even...
Fred is trying to wish some sort of last-minute injury on
him. Well, and, you know, Fred's even wasting his time. You know what's going to happen.
Who do you want to win this game? Not who
from
will
from the Patriots'
win.
Perspective, yeah. I would want Baltimore to win this
That's
game.
What I think.
I probably have a different reason than you.
Well, I think that down the road, I think Denver will be more of a threat for seeding.
Yeah, to me, it's all about the home team. I want a home team to lose. I think both of these teams are going to be there in the end as Patriot opponents. And if a home team can lose a game, you're probably going to lose some on the road. I mean, even the best teams lose a game or
right,
two on the road.
Right.
So, you know, now all of a sudden that's a couple of losses, and that's one that you probably didn't expect. Most
sure.
people probably look at this game as Denver should win at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think for the Patriots' perspective, it doesn't really matter, but I would be rooting for Baltimore. Now, I understand why Patriots fans might not want to do that because Baltimore is a big rival, and it's hard to root for them.
Yeah.
I'm so ill-prepared for other teams and to pick games,
it's
but
okay.
Is Von Miller officially suspended?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, he's out. Champ Bailey is also out tonight.
Then I thought there was an appeal, and I didn't know what.
No.
He's out. He's serving the six.
Yeah, that
now.
Was the appeal.
Okay,
six games.
Champ Bailey also out for the Broncos. You know, not a significant, not an insignificant loss.
Right.
But you know, obviously the Ravens are dealing with a whole host of change. But I think in the long run, it's change for the better, especially on defense. I think they're going to have a better defense than they did last
year. Wow. Well, then that's scary.
Yeah, I don't think they had a very good defense.
They were good enough.
Well, they were
good enough to shut you out when it mattered.
And that's really the only game they played well defensively was against the Patriots.
All right.
Look at the rest of the game.
And that's just because Brady can't play in the
postseason.
They gave
31 points to the Niners, right? In the Super Bowl, they gave up 35 points to the Broncos.
That's because the NFL turned the lights out and gave the Niners a chance.
Well, if you grew up where I grew up, lights can go out.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
$1 multi-billion.
855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, get some of these calls out of the way. As I said, we're going to have to do our picks at about 1:30, so... No buys this week. So we're gonna have to hurry.
this is for Paul real quick.
They watched the Super Bowl from the same place I watched the Super Bowl from. Your couch.
Did you ever hear Tony Maz do that? No. He does the whole yo couch thing and he goes, and then on Christmas I slid down the chimney and I walked in the living room and I said, Merry Christmas.
No, I haven't heard that.
It's one of Tony's gifts.
Eddie's in Maryland.
When he's not saying, you're right, Mike, he's actually pretty funny.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Calling you again.
Okay, we love it.
I want to get into asking you guys about how the strategy into, you know, how they're going to deal with the E.J. Manuel on Sunday. But first, to start off, can I ask Paul and Andy, not so much Fred, because I already know Fred's answer, but has any of you guys lost a little bit of faith in how Belichick, just the overall, is there some luster gone from,
no.
You know, just...
Well, that's why
know,
he didn't ask you.
Strategy, picking players, philosophy, all of that. Have you guys lost any?
I have not lost much in him overall. Not really as a coach, but I do wonder sometimes about the personnel decisions. I wonder if this team is as talented as it could be, and... The reason it's not is because of some decisions that Bill makes. But overall, yeah. No, I haven't lost a whole lot of faith in Belichick. We talked about it at the very beginning of the show. Andy sort of criticized me about my whole, Brady and Belichick thing. And I think largely that still remains true. You have the best tandem in football, and that gives you a big leg up on everybody else.
I do think you have to question some of his yeah. defensive draft picks. I know you think he's a very, very good drafter, but I think defensively, some of the second round picks, some of the inability to year after year bring in secondary players and develop them into, you know, because people are like, wow, look at all these players that they have to keep as rookies. Well, part of that is because of your failings. Because guys like Rozai Dowling or Wheatley aren't in the prime, you know, Tavon, they're not in the prime of their career as, you know, shut down or holding down starting spots. And when you keep swinging and missing, you have to refill those slots and you end up in kind of a young team, a lot of rookies, whatever. And so I think you have to look at that objectively and not just say, he's a very, very good drafter.
Don't laugh at him. He's being a moron.
I lose a little bit of faith every year, it just seems like. But hey, I'm still a Patriots fan, so I can't, you know.
Yeah, Eddie, I get it, because I think he's made some questionable decisions with his personnel, and Andy brought up the drafting, but it's, you know, just
It can easily go the other way. Yeah. If Chandler Jones becomes J.J. Watt this year, and Dante Hightower is making plays, all of a sudden people go, whew, those young players, Bill finally got, he got the ones he wanted, whatever. I mean, that'll go the other way quickly.
But it's also going to feed into the argument of, you know, forget about trading out of the first round. You do well in the first round. Keep picking guys in the first round.
Well, and that's always been my argument. Like, you know, people say, you know, well, it works for – when you sit there and say – and use the Atlanta thing with Dimitroff as an example, you know, the whole Julio Jones thing. Remember that part in the book? Dimitroff wanted to trade a lot of draft picks to move up to get Julio Jones. And Belichick advised against that by saying Jonathan Baldwin is the same player. You can get the same player at 28 as you can wherever Julio Jones, was it 6, they went up to? And I would say, yeah, it's possible that John Baldwin is as good as Julio Jones. Now, number one, I would say the evaluation was off there. But that's everybody gets evaluations off. My point is, philosophically, it's so much more difficult to get the same player at 28 that you're getting at 6. It's just harder. I'm sorry. It's harder. The longer you wait, the harder it is to get talented players. And they intentionally do that a lot. They move down which to me makes it more difficult to find the guys that you want to replace the people in your secondary that Andy just talked about. All of those picks that they used, clearly they're not happy with the secondary either, or they would stop taking corners and safeties high in the draft. So that's my only thing. Philosophically, I don't understand why you constantly move down and make it harder on yourself to hit.
And the other philosophical thing would be sort of these rumblings of him not sticking to the board or kind of leaving the board. You know, you hear these little scouts. There's always a little report here. The scouts wanted this guy, and he swooped in. You know, that concerns me because I do believe, you know, Paul was mocking me. I read a GQ story on Nick Saban, and he's all about the process. Well, the process of the draft is you have a year or multiple years of scouts and regional scouts and scouting directors and meetings and slottings and stackings and gradings. And then to just, you know, it's April 27th. I like him. Who are you, my kid? Like, you just see something you like and you go get it? I mean, there's a process involved. And if that's the case, that concerns me a little bit. That means he doesn't trust the process and the people that are evaluating. He just feels like he needs to go on his instincts. Well, and maybe those aren't so great
right
now.
That was the whole thing. You know, one of the reasons why Parcells left that year that they picked Terry Glenn, Parcells wanted to go defense. And Kraft's argument was, I just spent $2 million on a scouting department, and they're telling us to pick Terry Glenn.
But that's even a little different because there was some interest. Bill runs this team. So the scouts that are scouting, he hired. Or he hired the guy who hired the guy. You know what I mean? This is his top-to-bottom operation. Right. If you don't trust those scouts, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Get new scouts.
Yeah.
Get a new scouting director. Get a new pro personnel director. Whatever you don't trust, I have no problem with you not trusting it, but change it.
Yeah, that was apples to oranges because Bill Parcells wanted the decision-making power. Bill Belichick has the decision-making power.
Right.
But he's not necessarily always listening. You know, there were people, remember we posted the video, I believe it was the Daron Harmon pick, and Casario, people tried to say that, you know, Casario looked like he didn't want the pick, and Casario, you know, looks away, and it's the first pick that Bill called in instead of Casario, and maybe there was some divide there. We've heard rumblings of that for a few years now in various places, and that philosophical aspect bothers me.
Well,
believe in the process.
Or believe in Bill, one or the other. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
Let's stay in the state of Maryland.
The great state of Maryland.
And we'll go to David. Hey, David.
Do you know Eddie?
No. I'm actually the first time calling him.
On a real bad phone.
Are you using a magic jack?
Are you in Chesapeake Bay by any chance?
No, I'm not by Chesapeake Bay.
No, I think you're underwater.
Kind of phone you using?
Can you call back, David, because we have a bad connection.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Okay, bye.
David's going to give that another shot.
So
Kevin, if you see David pop up there.
Put him right to the front of the
right
Kiwi.
Today, Junior!
Let's go to some emails. Peter is in Denmark, and he says, I don't want this to be a fantasy question, as I know how much the Perillo despises such things.
Yeah, but you guys can talk about it.
So probably. I will phrase it this way. Assuming the Patriots score 5 touchdowns, not unrealistic to expect 35 points against the Bills.
No, he's predicting 38, the non-fantasy guy.
How do you see these divided among the following players? Amendola, Ridley, Vereen, Tompkins, Zudfeld, or Dobson?
Yes.
I'm thinking Brady will have at least 3 TDs, one for Zudfeld and Tompkins, Ridley and Vereen sharing one. The rest I am undecided on.
I think Ridley and Amendola are a lock to score, virtual locks to score.
Really?
Yeah. Beyond that, I don't know how it's all going to play out. Now you get Tompkins, Sudfeld, and other athletes that are in the mix. But if you made me like wager, I would say Amendola and Ridley will score.
Ridley?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give one to Ridley at least. Yeah.
Yeah, you get down there.
How about Brady throwing?
I think three is right around the ballpark.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it could be 4, you know, but if you're giving Ridley one, now that's 4 touchdowns right there already. You might have a defensive score, rookie quarterback, trying to make some plays. So I think 3 is a good opening number for Brady in this passing attack.
All right. Jeremy says we should do the show from 11 to 1. Last 15 minutes could be an interview with a player. Everything else could be shifted up 1 hour. And here's a quick over-under game for Sunday's game. Patriots points 35. Paul says over. I know that.
Yep, slightly over.
Yep.
And I also like the 11-1. I know there's some logistical things on that, but that would be my pick.
I'm going to say slightly under.
Okay, I'll say
slightly under 35.
Yeah. Low 30s, I think.
That's how you really are down in the
Me
team.
Too. I'm with Andy.
Wow.
Shane Vereen, total yards, 70.
Over.
Over.
Under.
Paul says over.
You really are down on Vereen, huh?
No, I don't think they're going to need to break out all the tricks in this game.
Yeah, but he could have one play that's longer than that. Didn't he have an 84-yard play?
Absolutely possible, Andy. He could have one play longer than 70 yards.
How about Sudfeld TDs?
Nice! You got it right.
0.5.
I'll take the over on the younger.
I'll take the over. Yeah, I think he's going to catch a seam route. It seems like we do that to Buffalo all the time, those little 20-yard touchdown passes.
Gronk's always had big games, so.
Well, it's a new coach.
Slide it. Now, how are you characterizing him? The next great tight end?
Possibly one of the next great tight ends. Yeah.
Or now it's possibly in one up.
Interesting tweet from, I believe, Bert Breer, who was in Buffalo. The scouting defense had two numbers, 80 and 44. Hmm. Amendola and Zudfeld, as Fred would say.
So they're not going to worry about anybody else?
Well, that's just, I'm sure they had the other guys out there. But, you know, like the Patriots do, they don't have a number for every guy that's being represented.
No, I know.
But
they target
they
guys.
They had two numbers of guys. And
interesting.
So Kenbrell Tompkins will have over 100 yards in this game.
Or Ben Vereen.
Shane, too.
No.
Tap dancing his way.
Patriots interceptions, 1.5.
Over.
Over.
I'll take two.
All right.
I think two is a solid opening. Aqib Talib gets one.
I'm going to say two as well. Over as well.
Name mix-ups by Mark with a C on the post-game show, 4.5. Seriously, this guy's worse than Fred. Is he bad with
Ooh, he
names?
Struggles with names?
Mark Who? Bertrand? Does he struggle with names?
I hadn't noticed that. But
we don't listen to the show, so.
thanks. And in a Patriots.
You don't listen to the post-game show.
Oh.
Okay. In a Patriots.
And we dominate the pre-game show.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
In a Patriots world, Fred's a brewski, older and less than wiser. Andy's a Gronk, big head, not much in there. Paul's a Wilfork, size and a good guy. And Eric is Brandon Lloyd. You're all DBs, and that's why we listen.
I'm okay being Gronk. I'm the party starter.
I wish I had Wilfork's bank account.
David's going to give it another shot for Maryland. Hey, David.
Hey.
Much better.
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you think we're going to have opportunity this year to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yes, we will have an opportunity.
I guarantee they win the division, make the playoffs, and therein have an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They'll host a playoff game on Wild Card Weekend. From where that goes, I have no idea.
They will have a better opportunity to do that than most.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, good chat.
Julian Edelman will be
calling from
will be the guy
underwater,
who makes
you.
The most plays.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? David Julian in Maryland.
Edelman. Like for the season?
No. On Sunday.
Oh.
So I wasn't listening.
So you're worried about Amendola?
No. I just think that Bills are going to key on Amendola, and Edelman's going to be out there, and he's going to make plays.
Okay.
You're not worried about Amendola, though, the groin?
No. I was told Jeff Howe and someone else that on Twitter that don't worry about it.
Do you think that was what kept him out of the preseason game?
Oh, yeah. I know. I think you have to make that connection. That's all we have to work with. He missed the third preseason game. The first week of the season, he goes on the injury report with a groin. A groin could be seen as a minor soreness that you would be monitoring. That was sort of how it was billed. So I think you connect the dots. I'm just worried about him.
I'm worried about
the guy who, to me, the first thing you said is if he can stay healthy, missed the third preseason game because he wasn't healthy and is on the injury report, limited in practice. That's not good. He hasn't gotten banged around yet.
Listen, anybody can get a groin injury.
That is true.
I know, but when this... I know that, Paul.
No,
but
no, you don't really understand.
And I'm also worried about his head. I'm sick of talking about the groin injury.
You're not.
I think the injuries are in his head. The fact that he is soft, that he is fragile, whatever it is, I think is in his head. That's not good.
He has a groin problem. I mean, he's not injury prone.
Right.
And I also found it interesting that he goes on the injury report the very first day. And the very same day where Bill Belichick says, we think reliability is as important as ability.
Right.
And part of reliability isn't just catching it when we throw it to you. It's being on the field so we can throw it to you.
We can rely on
it. And it was one day before Wes Welker will be on the field for the Bridge. So just tie that all together.
I don't know why you're so fixated on the Wes Welker thing. You sound like a fanboy.
What Wes Welker thing?
Like one day after. Who cares what Wes Welker's doing now?
I know what Wes Welker does. He plays 16 games and he catches 100 passes.
No one cares.
Till Danny Amendola proves me he can do that. You know what Wes Welker had for a career low here? 86. You know what Danny Amendola's career high is? 85. I found that interesting that they're one number off.
Another injury report related question for you guys. Gronk was listed as back and forearm.
Right.
Do you read anything into that? That the forearm is not 100%? Or do you just think it was one of those things that they do?
Yeah, because he had off-season forearm
surgery. Yeah, I think that until he gets out there in, you know, full action, that will be listed as an injury because they need to see how it's going to hold up.
Plus, there's a good chance when he does get out there, it'll be wrapped.
That was kind of my point.
Yeah. They don't know.
Yeah, no, but that's
that we just don't know.
See, I would think that at this point...
I know he's fine, but...
At this point, I would think that the forearm was no longer an issue.
Right.
But I kind of agree with you. The fact that it was included on that, maybe they don't know.
Was Dan Conley not on the injury report?
I don't believe he was.
I don't think he was either. It just came across my mellow. Yeah.
Dobson was on with a hamstring, which is not good. I think he has a chance to be inactive on Sunday.
Okay, Paul.
We'll tease that for the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social.
Hashtag PPGS.
When we do our little guess hashtag the inactives game.
Dobson.
Kevin, by the way, how are we looking on the Dunkin' Donuts portion of the Patriots pregame social?
Been efforting that today. It looks like it's going to happen.
Okay. Nice.
But with me in charge, you never know.
That's really big on a road 1 o'clock game to lead off the season. That's a very big
aspect.
You guys
get sandwiches or just donuts?
No, I've been efforting to get sandwiches, and I just get bagels and donuts.
Yeah, the steak one I wouldn't bother with.
They have a chicken parm one now I want to try?
Oh, they might, yeah.
No, I like the bacon something something cheddar, bacon something, bacon turkey cheddar.
Dan Conley was not on the list.
I find that interesting. That's
Svitek was the only one who did not participate. Then it was Amendola, Bolden, Dobson, Ebner, Gronk, and Harmon, all limited.
The reason I'm tying that in is it's a similar question to McCourty. McCourty, Conley, and Gronkowski all had joint or bone surgeries, you know, shoulder for McCourty, and missed time as recently as 2 weeks ago. For Conley. So it's not like they're just listing everybody who had off-season procedures and missed time this summer because they didn't list those two guys. So it's not automatic that if you had a surgery 4 months ago, you're going to be on the injury report. So maybe there is something that they're... I also think, like I said, I think there's a chance when he plays, there may be like something on there as they continue to really ensure that it's back.
Right.
I don't know that to be for certain, but, you know, and it's a hot-button topic because of the way it played out last year. You know, he's back. Did they rush him back? It breaks again. Oh, my God. Is blah, blah, blah.
Michelle in Stockholm, speaking of injuries, she'd like us to explain the injury report to me as if I were a dummy. The only thing that surprised me was that Brady wasn't on there. According to some, that shouldn't be brought up since some people are very superstitious, and I think I might have jinxed Brady's season. If only I were that powerful. Imagine the things I could do. And as far as moving the show, as long as it gets tweeted out, posted on the website, I don't have a preference. I have the Broncos tonight, not by much, and that Welker has a great game. Nothing but the best for that little dude.
I hear you. That's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Welker. I like Wells.
I'm not rooting against Welker.
Plus, he'll be wearing orange, right? They'll have the bright orange on.
I would assume, but I really just don't care.
Wow.
I'm not rooting against Welker. Don't make this out to be something it's not.
You didn't run him out of town. It's Nesco you're rooting
against. We all know he's going to miss five games.
No, we don't all know that.
You know he's going to miss five games. That's just what happens.
Who will?
Welker. When Belichick does his little thing,
oh,
he'll miss five games.
Yeah. Whammy. Yeah.
So now he'll become...
What was that?
Nothing.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Mayoka? Is that English?
No. Christian will call in.
Mayaka.
Christian will call in. He'll give you one.
The Kavorka.
It's not Kevorker. It's like Ma and an M.
Oh, here goes Andy again.
So what was she asking about the injury report?
I don't know.
Well, it's actually a practice participation report early in the week.
Right.
And they simply list guys who were in any way limited or injury-related in practice. You know, it can be did not practice, blank, limited, blank, full participation,
right,
blank
like EJ,
as they come back.
EJ Manuel is listed at full participation.
Coming back from the
generally,
knee.
That's what Brady is listed as. Full participation,
correct.
Shoulder, right shoulder.
On Friday, it spans into questionable, right. Doubtful, probable, out. What do you think Gronk will be?
Doubtful.
I think doubtful.
I think he might be questionable.
Really?
Because you do the 50-50 mix. Questionable week one, questionable week two, questionable week three. He plays, so now you've almost balanced it out. He might even get one more week of questionable the following week, and you've balanced it out. You did nothing illegal. He was 50-50. He didn't play in two, and he played in two. I'm saying questionable. But he could be doubtful.
All right. Louis writes in.
Hey, Louis.
He's in Chicago.
Some people think he's going to play.
Who? Who thinks that?
Mike Salk.
I heard people trying to spin his comments yesterday that he was like saying he had a faster timetable or something. And I never heard that. I think it was Adam Jones again I was listening to. They played the comment and he said, so is this a ruse? Is this, and I'm like, he never said anything that led me to believe anything had changed.
It's funny how he could get made fun of for not saying anything. And yet other people took it as, is he trying to tell us something here?
I actually think he said nothing. And I have no problem with him saying nothing. You know, he had a couple. Facts. No setbacks is a fact. That's good to know. You had no setbacks. Okay. I'm doing a lot more today than I did 6 weeks ago. Okay. That's a little different than Bill characterized it
Listen, I have no problem with what he said. I'm with Andy. And listen, we sort of knew that there were no setbacks on Saturday when they made their roster announcements and he was removed from PUP.
Right.
Because he was on the active roster at 6 o'clock on Saturday when they made the cutdowns.
Louis in Chicago, long time. I haven't written to PFW. Great to have a new season underway. Looking forward to our 22-1 season.
That's for you, Fred.
Right. First off, shout out to my elite family. And secondly, I've been yearning to
What's
write.
What's an elite family?
I think there's a new PFW. Group, Patriot, PFW Elites.
So is this different than whatever you used to say last year? What was the...
No. A preamble to J?
Preamble to J.
That's just something that gets written, but some of the elite guys do that.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Patriots fans like to call themselves elite, basically.
No, there's an elite group now. It's called elite.
I know. They call them. They name themselves that.
Right.
Is Eric part of it?
That'd be beneath him.
I love it. Is Eric part of that?
I've been yearning to write in to answer Andy's question, and the answer is Jay Cutler. Yes, Andy, Jay Cutler. This is the one player who Mallett would be if he was given a full season.
Oh, that's not bad.
Living in Chicago, I sometimes get stuck watching Cutler, and now seeing Mallett play, I can tell you Mallett is Cutler. With Mallett having more upside, Cutler makes horrible reads, bad inaccurate throws. Yes, throws behind players too. Flashes of greatness. That is all. I'm very anxious for our game. Hopefully our D shows a ton of improvement.
I don't love the Cutler thing, not as much as Andy. I think the arm strength is obvious. There's comparison.
Well, what's the?
I think Cutler moves much better.
He does.
You know,
I
don't
know.
No.
I'm
don't
saying
think
it's
a lot
good
of
if you. No, I don't think there's any similarities in the way they play the game,
other than their arm strength.
Well, and that they make stupid throws.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the comparison. But
I don't think Mallett.
I think Ryan Mallett would be very happy to be a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think Mallett has more upside than Jay Cutler. And I don't think a lot of Jay Cutler.
Well, I think Jay Cutler is one of the dumber quarterbacks in the National Football League.
I think he's very stubborn.
I also think he drinks a lot. He looks like a drinker.
This is the kind of analysis you get.
Well, doesn't he have like diabetes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean he can't drink?
No, his eyes kind of have all those dark circles under them all the time, and that gives him the impression that he's tired.
But I've also read a lot about, if you look at Chicago nightlife, he's a drinker.
Yeah.
And he looks like he boozes it up too much, and that's not good. You got Tom Brady opening a mind, body, and wellness center, and he's going to take all his traits that lead to his greatness and compare it to Jay Cutler. And that's why Jay Cutler is Jay Cutler and Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
Richard is in Ames,
hey,
Iowa.
Dick.
He says, love your show. Great stuff. Quick question. Why is Jake Beckett on the 53-man roster? He sucks. I specifically watched him on replays of Patriots preseason games, and he was totally dominated all the time. Not strong enough to hold up the edge against the run, and he's supposed to be a speed pass rusher, but he's not particularly fast.
I'm not sure he's supposed to be a speed pass rusher.
Couldn't generate any sort of pass rush. Why is he on the team? Is this another example of Bill being stubborn and not being willing to admit he wasted a third-round draft pick last year?
Maybe.
Can I just address that one? I'm fairly critical of Bill personnel-wise, would
Are you
say?
You said he's a very, very good drafter.
I think that's an unfair criticism, that he's stubborn with his draft picks. I think he's gotten rid of a lot of draft picks quickly.
Right.
Some of them even more quickly than I remember when Andy pointed out Kevin O'Connell in year two. I thought it was year three. Dowling, gone. You know, Chung, Butler, Wheatley. I mean, these guys didn't last very long.
Right.
Well, they were all 3 years, except for O'Connell. I believe O'Connell was the only 2 years.
But in a lot of those, like, year one and or year two was hampered by injuries, so you really didn't get a good look. You know,
nothing hampered Jake Beckett except the fact that Bill said don't play.
No, a lot of these other guys, you know.
Dowling. I kind of agree with him. I've seen very little from Jake Beckett.
The Beckett.
He may have saved himself
with.
In the fourth preseason game, but if that's the case, then I think Paul's right. He was playing against car wash attendants.
I just think that Bill has been a little bit quicker to pull the plug on draft picks, high draft picks, than most coaches are. I think there's a lot of guys that get more rope because their draft picks around the league.
He kept all his draft picks. He was in the minority there. Yeah, but most good teams cut their draft picks this year.
Most
good teams cut their draft picks this year.
Right now, we don't know if they were good moves or not.
No, I know, but I'm saying.
What I'm saying is that when it becomes apparent that Dowling is not the answer, he cuts them. Or Butler. Or, some other guys. I think they've cut more.
I think it was apparent Jermaine Cunningham wasn't the answer before Jermaine Cunningham. Well, he still hasn't technically been cut, I guess. But, I think it's apparent Jake Beckett isn't the answer. I think you can come to that conclusion, in my opinion.
All right.
And I think he does it quicker than
most coaches with their top three round picks. That's all.
I just think it's telling that this year most good teams cut draft picks, and he just keeps them all. I just think that's interesting. Usually the teams that keep them all are crappy. What do you call them? Poop bum teams?
Poop bum teams. Say it on the radio. But...
Well, you have.
No.
Yeah, you have.
No.
And you've actually said it.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. You called the Jets on the air. We can go to the
Maybe
archives.
Once.
Maybe once.
Maybe
well,
once.
Slipped
Maybe
up at twice. Least
once.
Well, I mean, this guy.
Yeah. What?
There's times that you're just in regular conversation and you slip up. I'll be back.
Paul's going to head down to the locker room.
See if you can find Eric. He does need to make picks at some point.
Yeah.
Paul's just shaking his head, and he's doing the Bill Belichick when he goes after the official with his hands in the air.
Patrick writes in. He says, trade for the Birdman. Despite the Bills' safety, Jarius Bird being half a turd, he's a complete DB. I think Bill took the wrong defensive back out of Oregon that year for sure. Bird was taken directly after we took Chung, Brace, Butler. Great second round. Anyway, we have a ton of cap space and need a legit safety. Bird is due a lot of money or so for his franchise tag and wants a big deal. Obviously something we wouldn't do. But because of our cap space flexibility this year and him being hurt with big money due this year, we wouldn't have to give up much in terms of draft picks, or at least I wouldn't think. If we extended him, maybe this year's big money could tie into that long-term bonus. Your thoughts on if you think this is remotely possible. He's been high on my safety board since we picked Chung over him. Amendola is the soap in the slot. I don't know what that means, but...
You are the inventor of the soap in the slot.
Yeah, but why is Amendola the soap in the slot?
Because he plays in the slot. I don't know.
Is he recyclable?
I guess.
I don't know. But anyway, there's no way the Bills would trade Bird to an AFC East opponent.
I don't think so, and I don't think the Patriots would do what it takes to sign
him. I mean, he'd do that with Drew Bledsoe, but you know...
Right, you know he can't hurt you. For the Bills, he might hurt you. I also have a concern, this plantar fasciitis thing that he's dealing with for the second straight season. I don't know enough about that, but is that a concern?
I guess it could be. Yeah.
I mean, he's been apparently last year he basically shot it up every game, and that's how he got through it. And I guess he's going to take a similar approach maybe this year. That concerns me though, that he has an ongoing multi-year injury there that would play into my thinking if I have to hand him $35 million or whatever. I mean, that's what a high-level safety contract is going to be looking for.
Right.
I'm not really willing. I think he's okay. I just don't see him as the safety that I want to invest that contract.
I mean, the bigger loss for them was probably Stephen Gilmore. I mean, looking at him as...
And also, I mean, your best young corner, if you think he's legit, that's... And they're trying to paint him as the man guy that can allow them to do some blitzing and different things. Yeah, that's a big blow to that secondary.
Brent writes in, he says, according to Chris Price, Dennard's court date has been moved again. According to the court clerk in Lincoln, Nebraska, the Patriot will now appear in court September 16th to answer for an alleged violation of his probation. That means he would appear on the Monday after the home opener against the Jets. It would not miss any on-field practice time.
I'm telling you, Nebraska is bending over backwards for him. I know everybody tried to paint that the being arrested on suspicion of DUI was the cops had it out for him because he punched a cop or whatever. And that may be true. But the legal system, the courts and everything has done everything Alfonso Dennard could have asked. I mean, this has been, couldn't have worked out. And now what's going to happen? The Jets game's Thursday. It's the Monday after that. You have a long week. Depending on how they handle the schedule, he's probably still not going to miss really any significant time prepping for the third game. And
I hear they're bringing in Tom Osborne to hear the case. The judge, so that bodes well for him. Joe is in Maryland. This is our third Maryland call. What's going on, Joe?
Jose, Fred.
What's that?
Jose.
What do you say?
Jose.
Oh, Jose. Hey, Jose.
Hey, what's going on?
We got a lot of Maryland players on the team now. We got a lot of Maryland callers. We got a little connection here with the Crab State.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. So I have two questions for you guys. My first question, which I'm like, I'm really curious about. I know we haven't seen like the offense this season, but what do you guys think? Like, what are the chances for us to like start off for our primary like, let's say, the offense using three wide receiver set instead of, you know, the two tight end set we used before? Like, what are the chances of us?
I think you're going to see more variation.
Yeah, you're going to see everything, Jose.
Tight ends was the primary set.
Yeah, you're going to see two tights. You're going to see two halfbacks back there. You're going to see three. You're going to see four wide. Wow. You know, Josh McDaniels, based on the defense that he sees out there and the team that's playing, he's going to mix it up. They're going to be multiple on offense.
And some of it will be Shane Vereen. Okay, is he a back in this set? Or are they using him as more of a wide receiver lining up wide? And then Michael Manawanui has played a lot of fullback. Okay, is he the lead back in this set, or is he really a tight end? If you call him a tight end, it's a two tight end set. If you call him a fullback, it's a two back set. So you are going to see more variance in the schemes and the different personnel groupings early in the year, I think. But I think you will see them, at least based on the preseason. They had a lot of two tights, two receiver, one back
sets. Don't be surprised if you see Vereen start the game in the backfield and on the first play motion out and become a wide receiver.
Sure.
You could see that, you know, and now they're empty back there.
They have a lot of versatility. It's not known like it used to be, but they have the potential versatility with a lot of these guys.
And as I've said, Jose, depending on Vereen, if Vereen lives up to his potential, he changes this offense. He really does.
With matchups, I can see. But yeah, I was actually curious because we have, like, when I thought about it, we have three more players that can play this deep threat, the so-called deep threat, you know, than we did last year. You know, Josh Boyce, I know he's considered some sort of slot, but look, he has the speed for it.
Yep.
Goes faster than, let's say, Walker. You guys said before, right?
Oh, he's one of the faster players on the team. He is a like 4.4 sub 4.4 type guy, way faster than Brandon Lloyd. And the ability to get down the field, whether it's out of the slot or the outside. And we've seen him move around a little bit throughout camp, some inside, some outside. And you're right, Dobson can get down the field, Tompkins can get down the field.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, all right, that's cool. But my second question, if Brandon Spikes can play more of that coverage, like, you know, let's say it's his contract year, so if he plays better, like, I would really want him back. I mean, I know he's not... He hasn't proven anything yet with covering players, but let's say he gets slightly better, you know, somewhat. What are the chances of him coming back?
If he gets slightly better, he's still not that good at it. And secondly, the two aspects to me you have to consider, A, the money. What's he looking for? And, you know, we saw a big contract for Brian Cushing. We know Mayo makes $50 million. There's been a lot of contracts that lifted the value of linebackers.
Well, and also, my take is if he gets slightly better, he's going to be tougher to sign.
Well, yeah, and then the other aspect is, what is Jamie Collins? You have Hightower and Collins, and you have Mayo. So I would think the idea is they're all starting caliber players. They're all more versatile than Spikes is. So between the money and the fact that you have Collins waiting in the wings, the versatility of Hightower, I think it's somewhat doubtful that Spikes is going to be back with his football team next year.
Oh, wow. So Mayo, like, back in the middle, maybe?
Mayo could be in the middle, and we've seen Hightower in the middle quite a bit this spring.
Although you think that if he does that, it's a waste of a draft
pick. I do a little bit.
Yeah.
But I also think it's kind of a waste of $50 million if you put Mayo in the middle.
Oh, that's cool. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Jose.
See you, Jose.
Thanks for calling. Let's go to one of our favorite callers. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Let's go. Bring some energy.
Bring some energy? Well, I'm bringing some. I just reading the cuts that we cut and everything.
Yeah, just reading that.
Yep. A couple days, a week late, whatever. I've been on the road driving, so.
Okay.
Yeah, you shouldn't read while you drive one of those big trucks.
Oh, I'm not. I do it when I'm stopped.
Okay, good.
Okay. My question is this. Okay, Mr. Belichick's a genius, true enough, but on defense-wise, he cut Green and he brought Green back, right? And then
you're talking about AJ Green,
the cornerback, number 41.
Oh, Justin Green, what's his name?
Yeah,
he's on the practice squad.
Yeah, he's on the practice squad.
He's on the practice squad. But my question is, okay, and you cut Cole, which I'm glad of. Got rid of Dowling.
Wait, you should read ahead. I know you're behind, but Cole came back.
Cole came back.
Yeah, Cole's on the active roster a day later.
About a blip.
What did he say?
Hey, just about a blip. Man, so you mean to tell me, out of everybody that, all the teams that cut, we couldn't find two liable corners, like two front for one, and then Bobineau is still out there with safety. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to bring Jags back that can't cover.
Well, they must like Marquise Cole. I mean, they brought him back. They even kind of tweaked his contract on the second time. He can earn more money via incentives than he would have under the original contract. And
who are you going to cover? You can't cover Cole with a Band-Aid.
Yeah, like, but I think when you get to that level on every team, you know, now you're talking like the third guy off the bench. They're all about the same, really.
Well, that's the issue. If you have to play him a lot, he's not good.
Right, right. And he's not meant to play a lot.
Right. If they have their way, their rundown is Tlaib is your number one corner. The other side, you have Dennard. You have Arrington in the slot. And Logan Ryan is probably your first guy off the bench in an ideal world.
Right.
Then you get to Marquise Cole, who's a special teamer and a backup.
Right.
First team and a backup.
Yeah,
okay.
Marquise Cole starts that week where you were decimated with injuries.
Right. And unfortunately, the last memory everybody has is him on the field in an AFC title game and him getting his ass whooped.
Right. But I also have the memory of him doing pretty well in London.
Ryan, one good play out of three playoff games, the interception. You know, but I guess he got upside some kind of way. The other question is, I know my favorite topic is wide receivers.
Yes.
I love Tompkins, Dobbs, and Joyce. My boys, I'm kind of skeptical about, but didn't y'all see Quentin Sims? I know he played that last preseason game, flash, big size speed, and took one to the house.
Yeah.
I ain't seen Boss or Dobson take one to the house in all four preseasons, but we cut him.
Okay. Well, Boyce did. He had that long pass.
And he would have had another one if Mallett hadn't missed
him
in week one.
Right, so he would have had two good long touchdowns had Mallett not overthrown him in against the Eagles. But I agree. Sims flashed, and he made it to the practice squad.
He also improved. Yeah. Remember he sucked when camp started?
Right.
When we first saw him, it was like a joke.
Right. He couldn't handle anything.
And then he got comfortable. He whatever improved. And he's on the practice squad. You may see him at some point this year.
Oh,
I won't be stuck.
I know they cut him. You need to read ahead.
They cut Sims, but he's back on the practice squad, Eldridge.
Oh, good. I'm happy down here.
Okay. All right.
All right. Y'all have a good day, man.
All right.
Eldridge. He was like glad they cut Cole. Wait, they brought him back? What are you talking about?
Good thing he had the show, or he'd be really behind.
Did you say he couldn't cover a cold with a Band-Aid?
I don't know what that means. That's really hard to do. You know, you get the mucus.
I think he's
off.
My favorite caller. He makes me laugh.
Let's see. Dustin. From Columbia, South Carolina, says, was I the only one who was ecstatic when I heard that Cole was cut? I don't know why they brought that Jag back. I'm sure there's better options out there. Also, why is Adrian Wilson on IR? I read something about a hamstring, but I'm sure there is more to him being out the entire season than a hamstring injury. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
And by the way, had they really wanted him, they could have put him on the roster and then put him on IR designated to return like they did with Asante Shenko.
Yeah.
So they didn't really want Adrian Wilson this year. Because don't tell me a hamstring was going to keep him out all year.
Marquise Cole, I think, is the perfect guy off the bench for this team. Knows the system. And I think in limited action, he does okay. And I think
the key is limited.
When you get to that level, familiarity with your system might trump, you know, just overall ability. Because
reliability.
There's not a lot of guys at that level that are, you know, that can hold up against, you know, this passing type league we have.
I think he's a diminishing returns guy. The more you see him out there,
right,
the more you're going to see the
warts.
But
you got to have guys at that depth.
And you got to have guys that do that are also pretty good on special teams, and I think he is pretty good on special teams.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think the pressure is on a little bit, A, Dennard to be out there, and B, Logan Ryan to develop into a rotational guy at the cornerback position.
I have no problem with Cole on this roster. None whatsoever.
I'd like to see a better guy, but it's fine.
It's hard to find, though.
Especially here.
Yeah. I mean, you get a better guy, and now you're talking about, okay, is he better than Logan Ryan? You know, so now he's moving up on the depth chart.
No, I know.
You know?
And like I said, hopefully it's Ryan. Hopefully by week 7-8, we're saying, Logan Ryan's pretty good. You know, he can make plays. He's not a starter, but he's decent.
I hope. Nick is in Seattle. I know Bill says draft status does not matter once they step into camp, But from afar, when the undrafted players like Zutphen and Tompkins seem to be ahead of the drafted players, Boyce and Dobson, doesn't sit right with me. Probably just nitpicking, but it bugs me for some reason.
Well, and it should. The rookies that are drafted should be better. But what Bill's statement is, he doesn't assume it. Once they are here, they compete. And he sees two players, and whoever's better is going to get more reps, more opportunities.
Right.
But as a fan, draft pick should be better.
And that goes against, you know, the person saying that, you know, Bill gets stubborn with his draft picks. If that was the case, Dobson, you know, now Dobson might be dealing with something now.
Well, he's on the injury report with a hamstring.
He popped up on the injury report, and maybe that's limited him.
Yeah, it hasn't limited him, like, hands-wise.
No.
His hands took a hit. Like, at some point midway through camp, he started double catching everything.
It's true. And it's, you know, but if you're feeling pain, sometimes it can affect your focus.
You know what he is?
What?
A rookie.
I know, yeah.
That's the problem with having three guys who are rookies that you're going to rely on. They're going to go through ups and downs and hiccups and make mistakes. And that's why Brady's been talking so much about patience and working with them and doing more and, you know, acknowledging mistakes but not accepting mistakes, and that whole process is going to be an ongoing issue.
It really does seem right now that Tompkins, Amendola are more of your reliable go-to guys.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, you know, Boyce and Dobson are more your shot guys.
Definitely Boyce is going to be a shot guy. Yeah. I mean, I think it's been clear end of rounds. They're going to give him a chance to make some, you know, they've done some screens with him trying to make a guy miss, and then
right.
He's going to be your play guy. Dobson should be closer to what Tompkins is, I think.
See, one of the things about Dobson is a lot of times he was targeted in the preseason, like in the red zone, and the balls were way over his head because Mallett was throwing it or, you know, Tebow was throwing it. I wonder if he had more of those plays thrown to him from Brady, if we'd be, you know, whistling a different tune.
I wonder if he got more separation at any point on the field, would they throw the ball closer to him?
I'm not sure if he's a, you know, that type of guy. I think he's a guy that, you know.
That's a problem if he's not the type of guy that gets open.
No, in tight spaces in the red zone, he might emerge.
He needs to get open.
Well,
he doesn't get open.
Jeff writes in, couldn't be more excited for the season to start and happy to have you guys back three times a week, as well as Paul and Andy on the pregame social. Got a list of over-under Vegas player props here that I thought you guys would like to take a shot at.
Sure.
Does it going to cost us money?
Heck no.
Okay.
For entertainment purposes only.
Tom Brady passing yards, 4,400 yards. 4,400
I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, me too. Tom Brady passing TDs, 32.5.
I'm going to take the over.
Brady,
what are you doing? You got an answer.
I'll say over too. Tom Brady interceptions, 11.
I am going to take the over.
Yeah. Huh?
Because of the rookies, and you're going to see some like the one where Dobson got banged off and it was an easy pick. You're going to see some of those, and then you'll have the normal ones that just come in over
the course.
I'll say
push. I think he's going to get 11 interceptions. Stephen Ridley, rushing yards, 1,000.5.
I am going to take the under.
Really?
I think things went so well for him last year. He stayed healthy. For the most part, he held on to the football. I just feel like he's due for a little bit of a step back, and they have options. You have Bolden, you have Blunt, you have Vereen that could eat into his issue. So if he misses a couple games to an injury, if he fumbles and misses the second half of a game, all of a sudden that adds up, and you don't quite get there.
Yeah, I might agree with you there. Ridley rushing TDs, 10.
I'm going to take the under on that one as well, for kind of what I just said. I think Blunt could get some of those, and as the offense diversifies, for similar reasons, I'll take the under.
Me too. Danny Amendola receiving yards, 950.5. I don't know why the .5 is necessary for 950, but that's all right.
Well, so you can't say push. to me, that question is all about his health. I firmly believe he's going to be a 100-catch, 1,000-yard receiver if he plays 16 games. The question is, will he play 16? I'm going to take the under.
Amendola receiving TD, 7.
I'm going to take the under.
Amendola reception.
How come you're not answering any of these?
I don't
like to be on the record as having an opinion?
That's all right. I think he's going to be over on the yards, but not the TDs. Danny Amendola receptions, 85.5. I say over.
Again, it's all about health.
Yeah. No, I'm assuming he's healthy.
I'm not. Under.
Okay. Chandler Jones sacks, 6.
Over. That's really the number? Wait, is this a real Vegas number?
It might be.
Because if this is, how much can I win? Because I'll take the over.
He says, I think the over on this one would be easy money for anyone actually betting.
How do you win these? What's the odds?
You have
like,
to
what
get
do you make?
Somebody to go to Vegas and place a bet on.
Jeff, El Jefe in Vegas. I want to win money. Take the over.
Dante Hightower sacked, 5.
I would take the over on him, too, but not nearly as strong.
Rob,
that's really the line is one different for those two. That's weird. Mm. Something there.
Rob Ninkovich sacked, 6.5.
I would also take the over, but not as confidently as the Chandler Jones.
Devin McCurdy, interceptions, 3.5.
I would take the over on that as well, as he just kind of ball hawks back there. I think he's going to have a good number of picks.
Okay.
Chandler Jones, over under 6 sacks. You could make some money on that.
You know, maybe they just think that, you know, the Patriots' defense is so multiple that one guy doesn't often get the opportunity to make that many sacks.
He had 6 sacks last year.
I know.
You've added Tommy Kelly. Hightower should be better.
Right. You've added Tommy Kelly.
Yeah, he's going to help him. He's going to collapse the pocket and force some guys out into him. Right. Clean up some scrap. To me, that's but I don't even know how those work. Like, do you make, I mean, what are the odds, or do you just bat a flat?
It's an over-under prop, I guess.
No, but I bet 100. What do I win?
You win 100.
Oh, so it's just a one-to-one?
I think so. I don't think there are odds on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'd have to bet like 10 grand?
Yeah.
To make any money?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Sometimes you can parlay it with something else, and if you get both, you make more. But if you lose one, you lose both.
Jeff, put a grand on the over for, not my money, your money. By the way.
That was just for entertainment only.
A grand, one of those candy bars.
All right. Brent in Illinois also, he's emailing again. He says, what happened to Big Al from Georgia after his Tebow rant? He has not returned.
Well, he goes away for a while, and then he'll come back in.
Yeah.
He hits and misses.
Quick question.
He's
lots
got a lady
of talk
friend.
About Tompkins and Sudfeld, but what do you think Boyce will do in this game?
I have no idea. I think he will be inconsistent. Like, if you're a fantasy player, I'd want no part of a Josh Boyce. Because I think he will have games where he has, you know, a 40-yard end around or a 50-yard reception, and then I think he'll have games where he's a non-factor. So I think all three, it's going to be, and I said this on the preseason broadcast, we saw kind of in the different games, different of the rookies stand out. Tompkins was the third game, Boyce was the fourth, Sudfeld was the first. I think that's what you're going to see. Any one of those guys, and then they might go in a hole for 2 weeks,
right,
then pop back out. That's why they're young. That's why they're unproven. That's what they're going to be. That's why there's some pressure on Brady and the rest of the offense, Amendola, to be consistent as those guys kind of come in and out of the picture.
It's going to be very interesting because Brady's going to look at the matchups and he's going to want to go to certain guys based on what he sees, but those guys may not be where they're supposed to be.
Right. They get bumped off their route like Dobson did all of a sudden. Or, you know, there's a lot of variables there. Or they drift. And we know how big he is on being in the right spot.
Right.
You know, Tompkins all of a sudden drifts a little to one side. So that's why I think those guys are, like I said, consistency. If you're a fantasy guy, I'd be scared to death of all of those rookies.
Dan writes in, so at long last, the worst player ever to play the quarterback position doesn't make an opening day roster. And to top it off, it's week one, and we're already revving up the value conversations. It's like Christmas and my birthday at the same time. It's looking very likely that in a year's time, we'll be talking about another crop of second and third round receivers and defensive backs that lost their jobs to undrafted guys. Eventually, the day is going to come when we're no longer afraid to say the trading down policy just wasn't a sustainable strategy. Unfortunately, it will prove a bittersweet victory for me because it probably will be accompanied by the championship window finally slamming shut. Well, Dan is very negative.
Is that Eric?
Very negative.
Stick around for the playbook. That's where they like your type.
It's terrible. The last 13 years have been just awful. Awful.
I was thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, and you're probably not the right person for me to ask this to, but
you're wrong.
The pick they traded to the Saints, the first round pick, that was what could have been Muhammad Wilkerson, right? The defensive lineman the Jets took, like, the very next pick, because the Patriots weren't going to take Ingram, right? And that was 3 years. I believe that was the case. And that's a case where they parlayed that pick into being able to trade up the next year, right? Because they got Jones and Hightower. But they also passed on a player in Wilkerson who many believe is now right on the verge of becoming a dominant defensive lineman, a Richard Seymour type. You know, he had like 90 tackles last year, a bunch of, you know, 5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles. So that's a case where you could argue they shouldn't have traded down. They could have got the player. And you don't have to go get Tommy Kelly or your D-line looks different, blah, blah, blah. But by trading down, they gave themselves a little extra ammunition that they then used the following year to trade up twice.
Right.
kind of worked, right? I mean, assuming we get Hightower
if
and Jones
these guys
to pan
take
out.
That second year jump and all that, yeah.
It's really just the second round.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Right. You keep coming back to it. All these guys in the second round, they get a lot of them, they don't work out. They trade up and get one, or they get the overrate a guy and it doesn't, like, the second round, just take the second round, trade out of the second round at all costs. Either trade up to get in the first or go back to the third. Stay away from the second round.
Melvin in Tennessee, do you guys think that Edelman made any jump this offseason? Does he look better, worse, or the same as a receiver and as a punt returner? Where is he on your depth chart?
I have him as a backup. I have him as a rotational guy. I know some people think he's going to start. I don't think Amendola and Edelman are going to start.
Again, starting, and I just think it depends on the package. I think there are packages that include him as a key factor.
When I say start, I mean be a primary receiver in that game. You're right. He may not start the actual game. I don't think he ever should be a primary receiver as long as Amendola is healthy.
Yeah, I think in certain packages and certain matchups, he becomes a primary guy, and I think he's going to have his share of plays this year.
And I think he's taking a step back because as a punt returner, I didn't think he looked very good this preseason.
I put him right now 3 on the depth chart in terms of receivers.
Behind Amendola and Tompkins?
Right.
Yeah, to me, it's Amendola, Tompkins, and then the mix.
Right.
And then it's your thing, the scheme.
Just because of veteran experience.
I just don't like the
ahead of Boyce and, you know, Dobbs.
Right, but all, you know, any one of them could rotate in. But I don't like the idea of looking on the field and seeing Amendola and Edelman together.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe I'm a racist. I'm being honest. That idea tells me you're not a very good offense.
Oh, please.
I just have these guys that don't scare me.
I think that if, you know.
I don't know.
You put them out there in a run package, and now all of a sudden, you know, the defense is a little bigger, maybe a little slower, and Brady, you know, audibles at the line, and all of a sudden that run becomes a pass, quick slant to Edelman, and he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Yeah. Could do the same thing with Boyce, and he could really be gone.
Yeah, but Edelman's got a better chance of being where he's supposed to be and catching the ball.
And getting hurt.
Well, do it until he hurt. Gets
that just
hurt.
Doesn't scare me. That you think that's like a formidable lineup?
I think it gives you options.
Sudfeld, Otto Manawanui, Edelman, and Amendola. Woo! Coming the fastest show on turf.
I think you line up there in a first down, and you're almost guaranteed to have a nice second down situation. Second and 3, second.
No, you're not guaranteed anything.
Well, I think you can. Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Let's see. Chris with a TIN writes in, the football elite group is comprised of disgruntled fans who have been blocked on Twitter by Eric. They are planning to rise up and slay him soon.
I like it.
The elite council has sent the order. I love this. This is all people who have been blocked by Eric, and it's a large group. That's great. So if you want to be part of the elite group, it's a membership only. You have to have been blocked. So you have to do something to Eric.
I've done my best. He just won't block me.
That's unbelievable.
I like the idea, though. I kind of want to start one for Florio.
Yeah.
People that have been blocked by Florio.
Oh, he blocked you.
He didn't block you because he's a meow. He just whined to you, oh, friend, don't be mean to me on Twitter.
Cutler is a dink. He's a drunk and also a diabetic moron. However, he did marry and plant a seed in a personal top 5 of mine in Kristen Cavallari. So he does deserve some respect, even though he's an athlete and a millionaire.
What does she look like?
Wow, then? This person doesn't like him. Kristen Cavallari. I don't know. Is she on a TV or something?
I don't know, but she's going to be on my phone in a minute when I Google her.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Devin writes in. A lot of emails coming in. I love it. People are excited for football back. Tonight, the Broncos and Ravens on NBC. We're going to do our picks in about 15 minutes or so. When Paul gets back from the locker room, he'll give us a locker room report. Nice. Devin writes in at Web Radio. At
McCourty?
No. He writes in at Web Radio at Patriots.com. He's from San Francisco. By the way, I heard people
either.
In San Francisco don't like it when you say San Fran. They don't like that. And they don't like it when you say San Francisco. It's San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Right.
It come from that.
Anyway, Devin says, I wanted to write in and really vent about Bill Belichick. I feel like over the last 4 years, he's had a terrible time drafting and signing free agents. I know he's supposed to be the best, but just seems like a ton of wasted resources, in my opinion. Anyway, you guys are the best, and sorry for the rant. And then he goes down and and goes through all the signings and draft picks over since 2009. And I get the point, but he's also done a lot. He's the general manager of this team, and he's done a lot to keep it competitive every year, and that's really hard to do in the NFL. So, I don't know.
She's a fine blonde, but...
Is she on TV or something?
I don't recognize her from anything.
No.
I mean, she's attractive, but...
Okay.
There's other places I'd rather plant my seed.
All right. Hopefully your wife.
Have done. Been there, done that. I need to find greener pastures.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to more emails. Paul will be back from the locker room.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money, yeah, on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Paul's still in the locker room. He should be here momentarily. I'm holding down the fort with Andy. Eric is a no-show. We don't know where he is. I'm sure he's in the locker room now.
Don't but. Care. NFL news note, and also it's a little bit general society type note, but Riley Cooper and Kerry Williams, the defensive back, apparently got into quite a good fight on the practice field today. And I mean, the immediate assumption is that has something to do with race and
right.
goes back to that. And I guess Michael Vick had to hold Williams back, and there were punches. And
interesting.
So, you know, for everybody who assumed they had moved past that incident in their time frame here,
I think that,
not so fast.
I think that division is for the Cowboys and Giants to win. I don't think the Redskins or Eagles have a shot.
I think the Redskins have a shot if RG3 is healthy.
Yeah.
I do.
Robin writes in from Alaska. Today on PFW, I learned that San Francisco was settled by Count Dracula. Keep up the greatness.
What does that mean?
It's because how you said it.
I'm not good with the accents. Count Chocula, Juan.
All I want to do is go get across the Golden Gate Bridge.
San Francisco, they say, all I want to do is forget it.
And Jeff says that the number for sacks for Chandler Jones was pulled off the Bovada website. That's a legitimate number. If you bet $100, it would pay out around $191. So there are odds on
it. So there are odds.
I don't see how there's odds.
I would advise any Patriots fans who are looking to have some entertainment to do that. Yeah. I'd be stunned if he doesn't have more than six sacks. I mean, there's no lock. You could break his leg in week one and be done.
Right.
But that just seems like a low number to me. They're going to have a bad season, by the way, if you lose that bet. So you'll be mad on two ends because you'll have lost your bet and your team won't be very good.
Shane writes in, I think this is the year the Patriots win another Super Bowl, and here's why. Number one, Gronk will be healthy at the end of the season for once. Please bring him back slowly, Bill. Two, no one is picking the Patriots. That's a good thing. Actually, there are people picking the Patriots,
yeah,
right?
A lot of people.
Three, Peyton Manning can't win in cold weather playoff game. Four, Amendola is taller than Welker. See the Super Bowl loss. And five, the most important reason, Patriots have been running the fast-paced offense for a couple years now. They were number one in the NFL with 74.3 plays per game in 2012.
What does that mean?
I don't know how that helps.
And are they going to be able to run as fast this year with all these young guys?
It only helps if you put it in the end zone.
Because I've seen Boyce and Tompkins and Dobson all at various times look like they didn't know either which way to go or what to do once they lined up. And that's going to be an issue moving forward with young guys.
Let's see. Sean is in Fort Pierce, Florida, and he says, yes, it does smell.
Thank you.
What would you rate Tommy Kelly's importance this year? How much of an impact would you say Kelly is? By the way, I like Cole. Sorry, everyone. He is scrappy. Not necessarily a cover corner, but he did make some plays. As a jag, he's better than nothing.
If you're going to use those parameters, I agree with you on Cole. Kelly, I think, is a relatively important guy because, A, I think he can have an impact. We've already seen that he can collapse the pocket, get after the quarterback a little bit, help Chandler Jones or whoever else. I think there can be a factor there. But also the lack of depth at that position. Just, he needs to be out there. And he's a 16-game type guy over the course of his career. Pretty much every year he's played 16 games. But I don't think you want to get to the point where you have to use Joe Villano or you have to use, who's the other guy, A.J. Francis or some of those guys. You can mix them in when you choose to, but you really would like to have Wilfork and Kelly all year just for bodies.
Does Green give the Patriots something up front that they haven't had in a long time? In other words, a guy...
Who's Green?
Not Green. What am I saying? Tommy Kelly. Does Tommy Kelly give them something up front next to Wilfork that they haven't had?
Yes. In terms of the pass rush, yes.
Yeah.
It's what they've been seeking. Jonathan Finene and the guy out in Seattle that they were supposedly interested in. They like the interior rusher, the big guys. And I think whether he works with Wilfork, or I think you will see plenty of times he doesn't work with Wilfork in third down and sub situations, he is certainly a better pass rusher than they've had for the most part there.
Pat in Agawam, Mass. It's been a while since the last time I emailed. Just wanted to make a few quick points and predictions for the 2013 Patriots season. One, I fully expect the Patriots to make it to and win the Super Bowl.
Woo!
Against Atlanta Falcons. That's that one's for you, Fred.
Do you think they're going to beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl?
I guess so.
I'm worried about them beating the Falcons in Week 4. I think that's their first loss of the season.
Two, I see Chandler Jones getting 15 or more sacks and a ton of knockdown and pressures this year.
That's why you should go to Bovada right now.
And getting edged out by my Defensive Player of the Year, Mario Williams. That one's for you, Andy. Atlanta's Matt Ryan will win the NFL MVP, slightly edging out Brady, much to Paul's chagrin, proving that BC does produce quality football players. That one's for Paul. And four, after the season, Fred will recollect at how great and groundbreaking the new preseason format for Patriots games was and finally give Paul and Andy a raise, which Paul will promptly refuse because of his new cushy NFL.com job. And five, Eric will lose his virginity.
Which of those things is least likely? Wait, so I can't hear you. Now I can hear you.
What happened when I was gone?
Wait, was that email totally a joke? So were they not going to win the Super Bowl? Because it really got jokier and jokier as it went along.
I don't know.
So, Paul.
But he does just, say, let me finish it.
Want to get your opinion. No, stop. the official line, or a Bovada line, for over-under Chandler Jones sacks is 6. Doesn't that seem like easy money?
Yeah, I would take the
over on that. You just turned yourself off.
I would take the over on that.
Me too, like easily. I think if I actually had money, I would put some of it on that. It's 100 to win 191.
Yeah, Paul, on the over-under bets, do you get odds on that? I didn't think so. Well, I thought it was...
I think it's what you bet.
Right.
Well, that's what I thought.
He's saying like you bet 100, you get 191. That can't be. It must be a...
Oh, listen, I'm not an expert on
it. It must be a prop bet with something else.
No, I was always under the impression it's like a regular... It's like 110 to make 100. On a bet like that.
Right.
You pay $110 on a $100 bet.
Yeah, for the VIG.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's some sort of prop situation where the odds come in. And
yeah.
I always thought over-unders were the same as...
Anyway, Pat says...
Let's put your mortgage on it.
Anyway, Pat says, I seriously do think the Patriots will end up either 12-4, 11-5, win a playoff game, wild card weekend. Tom Brady will win the NFL MVP. And I predict that Seattle will get beat by the Colts in Super Bowl 48. How's that for a reach? That's all I have to say. Can't wait for Sunday and keep up the great work.
What did the Colts do this offseason? Am I missing some of the upgrades they've made to that team?
I think they made a couple, but they're not really coming to me right now. I'm in the Andy Hart mode.
Well, didn't they draft somebody high?
They probably drafted somebody.
Let me finish, you fat mouth. And wide receiver. Didn't they give him some help, Luck?
I'm asking, not I
maybe
don't know.
It was offensive line. I know
they signed Donald Thomas. I know that. He's going to start for them at guard.
I know they did something for him, for Luck, and it's like, oh, that'll help Andrew Luck.
I need strippers.
Before we move on, did we talk about the Jets game on Thursday night, NFL Network?
No.
Was that brought up at all?
Not that I know of.
I don't know what we're talking about. I mean, I know we play the Jets on Thursday night.
Yeah, I didn't think, because I know we hadn't talked about it at all when I was here, but Christy came up to me in the locker room, Christy Berkery, who works in media relations, social media manager, said that somebody had contacted them saying on the radio they're giving out misinformation. They're saying that the game against the Jets will only be on NFL Network. It will also be on NBC. And I was like, well, we didn't say any of that when I was there, but I'll check with them in case they talked about it when I left. But we didn't talk about week two at all. We were just talking about Buffalo.
It's on NBC?
It will be on NBC as well as NFL Network. They have to make it available somewhere that people without cable can see it.
The only time in the local market. Yeah, the only time.
But that's new. Didn't it used to always be Channel 5?
ESPN will get Channel 5 because it's the same company. Like a Monday night game will be on ESPN.
The only time we mentioned NBC tonight was about
tonight's game.
Today, but was about tonight's game.
Right. My guess is someone heard you say that game was on NBC Thursday night, and they thought you were talking about the Patriots.
No.
They don't listen. They just don't listen.
Nope. Paul, how's the locker room out?
He's got a big thing in his mouth.
Oh, it's a sandwich. Eric just walked in, too, so maybe he...
Locker room was a little quiet.
It's funny because he's fat.
Ben Bolin said it was 50-1 media to player ratio.
Freddie, did you get a haircut?
Okay.
I did.
Looks good.
Thanks.
Locker room today, yeah.
Ninko,
Tommy Kelly.
Akeem Talib.
Akeem Talib, man.
Yeah, we got Tom Brady on our team, and that's good.
Who else?
I like him.
Who else? Those are the main players, I think.
Mulligan?
The main ones. Mulligan did like a couple of...
Yeah, because
like,
you said the main players.
See what I did there? Yeah, I did. Paul and I got to know.
What'd you get?
I got Who Man.
Was he good?
He was pretty good. He was pretty good.
Paul got a mouthful of chicken.
He got Volano.
Nice. I'm interested in him. He just seems interesting. He looks Italian.
Yes.
He looks like a lunch pail kind of guy.
Kind of reminds me of...
Joe Andruzzi.
Andruzzi.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to say the other Rutgers kid that was Italian from a couple of years ago was D lineman. Then they switched him to tight end for a few games.
Oh, yeah.
Silvestro?
Yes. Transvestro was his nickname,
hey,
remember?
Hey.
That was his nickname.
Oh, that's not okay.
That was his nickname.
He might go out to San Francisco. Eric, how do you say that? The place where the 49ers play.
San Francisco?
Is that wrong or right?
No, that's right.
I thought it was San Francisco.
No, but they don't like it when
They don't like when you say Frisco.
They don't like it Frisco.
They don't like the Patriots then when they do Frisco. Frisco.
So they're not like San Fran either.
Really, San Fran, yeah, right.
And they don't like, it's not San Francisco. Like San Francisco, it's San Francisco.
San Francisco.
The pause in between, right. Slight pause right. In between the San, the
exactly.
N and the F.
They also don't like traditional sexuality roles.
You know, some people say San Francisco.
The San Francisco treat.
San
Francisco treat.
Yeah, the song.
Oh, that's what it
was,
says.
The
San Francisco treat.
Right, maybe that's where people...
Rice-a-roni.
The San Francisco treat.
Right, and over there they say rice-a-roni. They don't say rice.
Right.
A-roni.
That would be erroneous.
Oh, well done, Fred.
All right, time to do picks.
I don't know. Paul's trying to suck down his sandwich.
Did we take a break first?
We just took a break. We went the whole time without a break till like 1:20.
All right. So we're going to start with this Thursday night game. What's that?
I'm still enjoying you teaching me how to say San Francisco. And somebody emailed in.
Why were you teaching
why
him
does
how
he
to
say
it?
I'm like, that's the way Fred's saying it.
Somebody emailed in. Why does he say it like Dracula?
Well, how did that come up?
Somebody from San Francisco emailed in.
And you said it and he was making fun of you?
It was an oh, by the way.
San Francisco tree town.
All right.
Frisco. Frisco.
Now, Paul, do you have all your numbers?
I do.
Okay. So tonight at 8:30 on NBC, Al Michaels and
how long are we going with this music?
Chris Collinsworth will be there. Denver in Baltimore.
is that Al Michaels again?
Yeah. Listen, there's only one.
There's only one. Yeah.
There now, are they doing? Do they not do the concerts anymore?
What's his name is doing? Keith Urban, I think, is doing a.
So no.
From where?
Oh.
From wherever, Inner Harbor, I think, or wherever.
Not the Inner Harbor.
He's doing one from the Inner Harbor. No, I know, but he's doing one
from
the
Inner Harbor. So the party's in Baltimore, but the game's in Denver.
Oh,
that's even more.
Nice job, right. City of Baltimore. You really did a great job. Home run with that.
Yeah.
Idiots.
All right.
It's not their fault they decided to still have the party in Baltimore, even though the game's not there.
No, the game should be
the
there.
Orioles
they should have stiff-armed the baseball team.
Sure, but I mean, don't blame the concert on that.
No, I'm blaming Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't blame the concert on Baltimore. They didn't have to have the concert in a place where the game wasn't being held.
They didn't have to have the concert, period.
Exactly.
That's true. I don't really get the whole concert thing.
No.
It's you know, to make the opening an event, and
yeah.
I get it.
Okay, the Broncos are favored by 7.5.
That's a relatively large number,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I think so.
Against the, I know you're at home, but the defending Super Bowl champions, a lot of turnover, some turmoil for the Broncos.
A lot of hype around those Broncos, though.
There is, and I was a big believer in the hype, and then I kind of, the Von Miller thing, and even the drunk things, and they started to have their own little questionable offseason to a lesser extent than we've seen a little bit locally. I just think that's a big number. I'm going to take the Broncos to win, but I'll take the points. I think this is going to be a pretty good dogfight early game,
okay,
and probably like a 4-point win for the Broncos.
I'll take the Broncos to win, and cover. I think they'll win by 10 points.
Okay. Paul?
Andy has it right. The Broncos will win the game, and the Ravens will slide in the back door for the cover.
Banana peel?
On the banana peel.
Well, I think that Eric has it right. I think the Broncos win and cover. So, there you go.
That's the kind of in-depth analysis you get of the opening kickoff.
We got to hurry. There's a lot of games.
There's no buys this week. No.
Just so you know, you guys are right about me. Because you just said they'll slide in the back door. And the first thing I thought of was that thing at Somerville, that they're having that whole dispute where the kid got raped.
They didn't slide.
Another wonderful example of hazing and all it brings to the football.
I love how he includes.
That's not hazing. That's assault.
Right. Yeah, he thinks that's the same as a guy diving on a wet field for a fumble.
Right.
That's the same. Oh, I cut your hair. I shoved up your butt.
Right.
I mean,
you can say broomstick on this show.
Yeah, you can say broom handle is okay.
He edited himself for broomstick, right, but not for butt.
Right.
No. In 5 minutes earlier, he yelled at you for saying transvestro, but then said, you know, the non-traditional lifestyles that they live in San Francisco. But he can't say broom handle.
No, but that story I just don't get. That's not hazing.
I don't get that.
That's not sports.
That's sick.
That's assault, brother. That's a disgusting human being.
Yeah. All right. The NFL.
You're an advocate.
No, I'm not. So stop saying that.
The NFL lists the New England and Buffalo game next, but we're going to skip over that game.
I wish you'd take it
off. Come back to it.
She had it on.
Nicole Zalumis.
I just mean the whole thing.
I can't see it now.
Jeez. These guys have never seen
a
woman before.
Logo.
I have. I saw her in person.
She has
a Patriots logo on
her breast.
Jacket. Yeah.
So? It's NFL Network.
Why do you have a team?
It's not Patriots Network.
You think she'd be wearing a Patriots shirt?
Wait, you sure it's not a Bronco?
I'm pretty sure it was a Patriots logo.
They are talking about the
Broncos Ravens, but it looked to me like a Patriots logo.
All right. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Seattle at Carolina.
Wow.
Seattle is a road favorite by 3.5.
Yeah, I think Seattle wins this football game. I'm not buying into the Panthers. I think that defense will get after Cam Newton, and I think you will see Russell Wilson make some plays in the spot where he made so many.
3.5 is the number. I will take Seattle to win, they'll cover.
And yeah.
7-point win for the road team. That's definitely a Patriots logo.
Andy, I'm not going to go in-depth on this, but Russell Wilson will make plays where he made so many.
NC State? Is it not?
Yeah.
Is it not?
He played there for
Carolina.
Several years.
Isn't that North Carolina? Charlotte?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
They're not in Charlotte, though, right? NC State?
No.
They're in
but
Raleigh.
It's the same state.
Yeah.
It's a freaking triangle.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of Russell Wilson, Wisconsin, but he did start at NC State.
whoa, whoa,
no,
whoa.
Nowhere near where they're playing this week, but that's okay.
I hope they played a game in that stadium or something so I can really tell him to suck it.
I will
full bore.
Again, that he'll say,
right.
But Broomhandle, that's taboo. I will take Seattle as well.
Yeah, I got to go with Seattle.
Although I think Carolina is going to be a good team this year.
Paul, now, Fred, you should. I mean, you had Newton as your MVP last year.
Right.
Where are your feelings on Cam Newton this year?
I think he will have a much better season this year. He had a terrible start to the season last
year. But it wasn't a terrible year statistically.
No, he picked it up.
Yeah.
But he started off terribly.
And his numbers actually were very similar, I think, they finished to his year before. I mean.
Right. No, I think Newton. Might have had a little come to Jesus with his coach and owner, and I think he's taken football a little bit more seriously. So,
plus that little kid was, you know, breathing down his neck.
Right,
his backup.
That's right. That's a great
warming his arm up.
Good commercial. I like that commercial.
And Newton does a really good job in it.
Yeah.
Whether he's a DB or not, he does a good job.
Good acting job. Yeah.
So I'll take Seattle. But
hey, John Rook's in the Bob's Discount Furniture studio.
Yeah, comfortable.
Eating a cookie in the red recliner.
Cincinnati at Chicago Sunday at 1:00.
Chicago by 3.
Speaking of San Francisco, this is a Cincinnati coming out party because they are going to lay the lumber to the Bears and Jay Cutler. Mm. He could turn the ball over 6 times in this game. That defense will announce itself, and the offense will make some points. This is going to be a blowout city on the road for the Bengals.
Why do you think the odds makers have Chicago favorite?
Because they're
home.
That's the only thing I can think of.
They're drunk.
I mean, they both went 10-6 last year, I believe, and they went with the home team.
Plus, I got Trestman on my trust list.
You know,
I'm also, Freddie, just to make sure, I'm going to recheck that just to make sure I didn't screw it up.
Okay.
Oh, Chicago is indeed favored by 3.
By 3, yeah. I'm not a believer in Trestman. I mean, I'm almost willing to buy Cutler, but Cutler with Trestman I don't like, and I think Cincy is they're my pick to win the AFC North, so it starts with this win over the Bears.
Okay.
So we're all on the Bengals.
Well, Fred has the Bengals as his breakout team and his sleeper pick, even though, you know, they made the playoffs a year ago and a lot of people are picking them to win the Super Bowl.
I don't know if I ever used the word sleeper.
You kind of did.
I am not anywhere near as high on the Bengals as everybody
else. John Rook
else.
Really seems to be enjoying his cookie in his recliner.
But I think the
he's
Bengals,
like got this big smile on his face. He's watching TV.
I think the Bengals will win this game.
All right. Me too. Let's go to Miami at Cleveland.
There we go.
Sunday at 1:00.
Pick 'em.
I'm going to have a hard time picking them. I think this is a good early season game where
I
think both teams could be better, but I won't be surprised if neither lives up to that hope of being better. I like Whedon. I'd like to see him get off to a good start. You know, you got the new weapons and some of the changes the Dolphins made, Tannehill. I'm just going to go with the home team simply because they're the home team, and I don't really know what I think of these two teams. It's going to take me a little bit to get a handle on them.
All right.
I'm going to pick the road team. I'm not confident in the pick because of, you know, the Dolphins maybe being a little overhyped, but I think they're a better team right now than Cleveland. So
if they're going to win the division like ESPN says, then they probably should win this game.
ESPN says the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East?
Yes.
Huh.
Pro Football Focus.
No, I know, but
those are the picks.
ESPN hired them to picks.
But all the ESPN, I just wanted to make the stipulation that the Bible with which we're supposed to drop down and bow to the altar, Pro Football Focus, their statistical analysis picked every game for ESPN, the magazine's preview. They picked the Patriots to go 9-7, 1-7 on the road, and the Dolphins to win the division.
Okay.
They actually intentionally say ESPN because I want it to sound more impressive. I think if you say Pro Football Focus, people
won't
really
care. No, because people are going to look and they're going to say, why all the ESPN analysts? Because I've seen them. They're trickling out, and every one of them picks the Patriots to win the division. I thought ESPN, the magazine, but that's why. Because, you know, you let some stat geeks in the back room do something, and you come out with 1-7 on the road. Miami.
Stat geeks.
This is a game where it is a toss-up. It is a push, but I'm going to go with the home team and also the team I'll be rooting for, which is Cleveland. Minnesota.
Why, are you worried?
About what?
That's how I read that.
You need the Dolphins to lose some games.
I always want the AFC East
that's not
to
the
lose.
New. That's nothing new for Fred.
I think you're worried. You seem worried. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you're putting a little credence into the Pro Football Focus selection.
I can feel it.
Okay, Minnesota at Detroit.
I'd like
Sunday
to feel that
1:00.
Patriots logo.
Minnesota at Detroit.
What?
Minnesota sorry. At Detroit.
I was ogling Nicole Zalumis. Sorry. Detroit by 5.
I am going to take Detroit here to win and cover, but I'm not very comfortable with it. You know, what we saw in Detroit, the results obviously were very good for the Lions, but some of the things that got there, all those crappy penalties, and I have my concerns about them as a football team.
Lose your football games, Andy.
Yes. But I'm just going to say that Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson, is he playing? I am assuming he's playing. He's healthy now. Early in the year, they're going to win games that they should, and this is a game they should.
Definitely should. I think they will. They're more talented. Is Castle still backing up there in Minnesota?
I believe so.
Then he is going to play in this game.
Ooh, because Ndamukong Suh is going to knock Ponder out.
Yeah, I like the Lions in this game, too.
I like Ponder's wife.
I saw
her the other day. She's not bad.
I have a hard time believing they could lose as many games in the way that they did last year. I think Detroit gets off to a good start. And I'm not a big believer in Minnesota, as you guys know, with the whole running thing. Detroit.
The whole running thing.
You know, that whole 1,900-yard rush.
I absolutely think he could make a run at 2,000 again, but I don't think they'll do it as a playoff team like they did last year.
I'll also go with Detroit.
He's going to get hurt in Toby Gale.
Sunday at 1, over. Oakland at Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Tied with the Patriots for the biggest number of the year, of the week. Colts? 9.5.
9.5.
Indianapolis. Indianapolis. The Raiders are, an abysmal football team, an abysmal organization, and I'll be picking against them all year.
That's very true. They are. Colts will win the game. Give me the Raiders points. For some reason, I think it's not going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a blowout, and I do agree with Andy. I think that Oakland is the worst team in football. This is a two-win team.
Paul's right, but this is your upset of the week. Oakland has that early win that gets all the Raiders fans excited, and then they never win a game again.
Has a defensive player ever done the I don't want to play for you thing?
What do you mean?
In the draft. Clowney.
Oh, on defense. I don't know.
I just said, has a defensive player ever done? You know, because it's usually the quarterback, Eli Manning, John Elway's types.
Yeah.
Because if I'm Clowney, I don't want to go to the Raiders.
No.
I'm not a quarterback, so I can't turn it around single-handedly. And B, I just don't want to go to the Raiders. They have no direction, no opportunity.
And then you'd be minimum, before you have any control, probably like 7 years.
Right.
Right, because it'd be a five-year contract.
Yep.
And then they could franchise him twice.
They could franchise
if they wanted to. Like,
if they wanted to.
No matter what you do, I'm stuck there for 7 years.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
He needs to sign with Condon or one of those guys who will do everything to get him out of Oakland.
Yeah.
Can't happen. And the Raiders are so bad, I don't think they can dig their heels in and say...
That'd be worth failing a drug test just to move down in the draft board.
I'll show them.
I'll cost myself millions.
No, I'll show them.
It's like you do what John Elway did.
That's when I'm not playing for you. I won't play for you, and that way I don't cost myself millions. I'm still the number one pick.
Still the number one pick. Exactly.
It's like the guy that you
don't want to drop in the second round.
The guy that's tailgating too close to you, so you slam on the brakes and you end up in a wheelchair. Yeah. I showed him.
Right.
Kansas City at Jacksonville Sunday at 1.
Kansas City by 4.
Kansas City with a blowout victory.
Oh yeah.
Except watch for Jordan Todman, Dartmouth zone, getting some run down there in Jacksonville. But my Chiefs are my up-and-coming surprise.
My Chiefs.
Team, where their talent, they get some coaching now, maybe a little consistent play at the quarterback position, although I don't love Alex Smith. But I think the Chiefs are an up-and-comer, and if you're an up-and-comer, you got to win at Jacksonville. That's not a road game. Yeah. That's a neutral site game.
I still think Jacksonville's the worst team in football.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, because I think Blaine Gabbert has more of a chance to be good than anybody the Raiders have.
But I will take Kansas City on the road
plus
to
Jordan
win
Todman. Did you hear that
and
Todman?
To win comfortably, Paul.
Jordan Todman's on Jacksonville.
Yes, I'm going to take Kansas City. I'm not as confident in the Chiefs covering as the boys are, but I will lay the 4 points and cross my fingers. Chiefs.
Well, when you're going against
I don't think the Chiefs are very good.
The preseason rushing leader in Jordan Todman, you never know what can happen. Big plays.
I'll go with the Chiefs as well. Sunday at 1, Atlanta at New Orleans.
Fred, you're really giving the money's worth on the analysis today. Atlanta at New
Orleans.
Trying
to get to the next game.
He said me too.
Saints by 3.
The Saints is an interesting one.
Very underrated rivalry.
Yeah. Yes, good rivalry. Obviously, the comeback of Sean Payton, the anointment of Rob Ryan with the defense that's lost players to injury.
Anointing? Is that what you were going for?
No, the anointment.
Anointment?
So,
An ointment?
I don't know. Shut up. I saw somebody thinks they're going to have like a top five defense on Twitter, and I'm like, how do you, where's that coming from? And to me, this is the first step towards not having a top five defense. I think they could give up a lot of points. I got a shootout here, and I have the Falcons to position themselves early in that division and in that conference with a nice road win.
I agree. Okay. Falcons are going to win the division, and it starts with a win. I do believe it's going to be a shootout, too, because those are some good offenses.
Now, will Tony Gonzalez be there, or does his kid have, like, a practice or anything?
Ooh. Walk through? I think he went to it with Rex Ryan.
The number was 3?
Yes.
Then
you picked Atlanta to win, right?
I picked Atlanta to win, yes.
New Orleans wins the game. I agree with Andy and Eric about the shootout. Neither one of these teams has even a modicum of a defense. They stink on defense. And I don't see a lot of punts in this one. But I think Atlanta is one of the most overrated teams in football. I'll take the Saints.
I'm going to take the Saints as well. I think when Atlanta hosts the Saints, they'll get back at them. And I think Atlanta eventually ends up taking the division. But New Orleans gets them in week one. Tampa Bay at the Jets, Sunday at 1.
Tampa by 3.
I will take Tampa only because I think the Jets are a joke, and I looked at their offensive depth chart, and it's offensive. So I'm not overly impressed with Tampa, but
by the way, today, or might have been today or yesterday, Manish Mehta, Jetstream, had a scathing little piece about Woody Johnson.
I kind of agreed with it.
You know?
Did you read it?
Yeah.
About Sanchez.
Yeah.
Woody Johnson said you have to protect yourself.
Right.
You know, kind of putting some of the injury on him.
Right.
How's it on him? He got hurt.
Right.
I actually thought the best quote I read was from Bart Hubick, who said the problem with Mark Sanchez's shoulder is it's attached to Mark Sanchez.
Oh.
I thought that was a good line.
I will take the Bucks as well.
Because you like the muscle hamster. No, what's it? Is that his
That's
name?
His nickname. Yeah.
You like the muscle hamster.
No, I don't.
No.
I mean, he's good, but no, I don't particularly care for him. I just think the Bucks are less of a debacle than the Jets.
True.
I would agree with that. Bucks are less of a debacle. I'm going to take the Jets only because they're at home.
It's also a game where your little theory on Shiano, he can run the ball and score like 6 points and win this game.
he might. That might end up happening, but I'm going to go with my tried and true method. As you know, Andy.
Two bad teams, take the home team.
Yeah. Two crap bum teams, as you quoted me about earlier.
No, you actually say it. I cleaned it up.
These are two of the 5 worst teams in football. I'll take the Jets only because they're at home.
Wow.
So you're taking Geno Smith.
These teams will be lucky to combine for 10 wins.
Not enough bad things can happen to the Jets. I just think Tampa Bay gets it together enough to win this game. I think the Jets are all in for Clowney. I really do.
Downey for Clowney.
You think this is all for Revis? Revis just says we can't lose this one, and they rally.
Oh, maybe.
Revis.
This one's for Darrell. Tennessee Darrell, at Pittsburgh. A lot of 1 o'clock games. Tennessee at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh by 7.
Sometimes you just have to go with your heart, and my heart's with Zoltán Mezco and the Steelers. So I'm going to pick Pittsburgh to win and cover this game.
Okay.
Pittsburgh's the better team. I think they win the game and cover.
And they're at home.
I like Pittsburgh as well. I'm with Andy and Eric. I think Tennessee is one of the most anonymous teams in the league. Like, I don't know anything about Tennessee right now. I mean, like, I know that Chris Johnson's still there, but
Jake Locker's still
there. They don't have, like, any identity.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they stink like Jacksonville and Oakland, the teams that we sort of mocked, the Jets. But they're not good either. They're not even I don't think they're close to really being good either.
They're definitely not.
They're just, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Blah.
Yeah. Blah.
They're like the Rams were, but now the Rams have Jeff Fisher, so now they're kind of like back on the map a little bit. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh as well. Only 2 4 o'clock games. They're both actually at 4:25. Yep. Green Bay at San Francisco.
Good one.
4:25 on Sunday.
Good game.
San Fran by 4.5.
San Francisco.
This is the interesting offense-defense matchup. And I have my doubts about Kaepernick coming out and what he's going to be this year and consistency and getting banged around and, you know, all this talk that guys like Clay Matthews are just going to beat the snot out of him if he wants to run read option. I'm just going to go with the home team. I think that defense is one of the best units in football, either side of the ball. Good job, Paul.
Just giggle, Paul.
And
I was for Andy. I did that.
And I don't have a lot of faith. I need to see what the Green Bay defense is going to be. And most importantly, Justin Smith is healthy. Alden Smith is behind him, and Aaron Rodgers has no protection. That's a bad, bad combination. He could get sacked a number of times by that coattail riding Alden Smith running right back Justin Smith's butt for the success.
I'm struggling with this game, and I did for the paper picks too, but I'm going to go with the more established quarterback despite the shaky offensive line.
Really?
I'm going to go with Rodgers and the Pack on the road.
You're going to regret it.
I might. It's a tough game. It's a tough call.
I've always been a Packer.
I will take the Pack to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners, too, with Andy. But, yeah, I do think Green Bay is pretty good. I think this is a tough spot, you know, on the road against a very good opponent. And I just think that for the reason Andy said, you probably get enough stops during the course of the game to get some separation. That's sort of how the playoff game unfolded last year. It was close early. They went back and forth. And then finally they had a couple of punts for Green Bay. And that really seemed to turn it around, and then there was all of a sudden some separation in the second half. I think you see that again here in the Niners winning cover.
Yeah, I think the Niners defense does it for them.
I think Green Bay could be due for a little drop-off here.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
I'm not feeling them.
Yep.
Well, what would be a drop-off?
I don't know. How many they win last year?
11.
9.
10.
9.
I think there's a chance that they're
Andy
not
Hart
a
has about a
three-team
league.
They're all 9-7.
No, San Francisco and Denver. Mm. Oh, sorry, San
Francisco.
Francisco.
San Francisco. What do you mean? What does that mean?
You think everybody's going to win 9 games?
No. There'll be some surprises that win. I don't think there's going to be, I'm not sure there's going to be 13, 14, 15 win teams.
Okay.
I think this is a year where 12 win teams are the number one seed in that kind of year.
All right. Arizona at St. Louis, Sunday, 4:25.
Rams by 4.5.
One of my rising teams, the St. Louis Rams. Robert Quinn looking to get a start on his Defensive Player of the Year season.
Did you know they went 4-1-1 in the division last year?
Yes.
Yeah, well, if you didn't, you'd be the only one in America that didn't.
What do you say?
The Rams are everybody's flavor of the month.
Well, they've been my flavor of the month since they drafted Sam Bradford.
And Quinny.
I've been with the Sam Chise and with Quinny for a while now. Everybody else is just catching up to the Pack. The Rams win this, get off to a nice start on a nice season.
I agree.
Carson Palmer blows too. Let me get that in there.
Yeah, he does. The Cardinals have not helped themselves despite all of the opportunities they've had.
They're ruining Larry Fitzgerald's career.
They really are. It's sad. It's sad to watch.
They should trade him to us while he could have. Like when the Bruins traded Ray Bourque so he could win a cup. Trade Larry Fitzgerald to the Patriots.
That would be,
it's like a perfect. You know, you give him the swan song. Let him win a Super Bowl title. Brady gets a receiver. Let's do it.
Right. Then he can go back there and retire there.
Call
if he
the Bidwells.
But. Wow, getting the hopes up here. Okay. I'll take the Rams at home to win and cover.
Yeah, I'll stick with my tried and true method. Two
crap bum teams.
I'll go with the home team.
The Rams are not a crap bum team.
Yeah, St. Louis.
They're a mediocre football.
I'll take
I thought you liked Tavon Austin.
Sunday night. We're moving to Sunday night. Moving along. The Giants
Maybe he'll
at
give him
Dallas.
A spark. I didn't love Tavon Austin.
I thought you loved him. You thought he was a great player, worthy of a top 10 pick, all that crap.
The Giants at Dallas. Come on, we got to move.
Dallas by 3.5.
Sunday,
why do we have to move? We're fine. We got 2 minutes.
Brian Waters told me that Dallas is the most talented team in football, and he knows a little something about that, joining teams and leading them to success from the guard spot. So I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys get off to a good start here. I'm not sold on the Giants. I don't know. I don't know what you bank on. They got injuries. They got guys nicked up. They got Eli in his, you know, perpetual mediocrity.
And yet they still manage to win games and get compete for that division, and I just don't believe in the Cowboys.
Tom Coughlin is the worst Hall of Fame coach. Eli Manning is the worst potential Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, so I'll have to take the Giants by default.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants too. Inconsistent teams in the NFC East, but I'll take the Giants.
I'll take Dallas at home, week one. Usually
in the first game ever at AT&T Stadium.
They usually do their damage early. Philadelphia at Washington. Yeah. Philadelphia at
Washington by 3.5.
Monday 7... 7:10?
Yeah.
This is the early game. I couldn't read it. 7:10.
Gramps, get your glasses.
What is that?
I am going to go with the Washington Redskins. I think they're an intriguing football team if RG3 can stay healthy. The other team is very intriguing as well. Who knows what exactly Chip Kelly's unit's going to look like? He's going to be running the ball.
It's on his hip.
I picked LeSean McCoy to be the leading rusher. I think there's a chance that happens, and they're still not a very good football team. So as much as I want to be interested in the Eagles, I think the Redskins are going to be a better team, and they'll win this game.
I agree, and with RG3's comeback, it's going to be emotional. It's going to be a lot of Redskins scoring. I'm not sure yet that the Eagles are where they want to be with Chip Kelly, so I'll take the Redskins at home to win.
Does anyone take the time to pop the little tab on the Miller Lite cans?
I don't.
They just played the commercial, and they show you, like, with it, holding his finger over it, and then open it up.
I didn't know that that was such an issue that we
right.
had to fix.
Like, what problem is that causing? Is that making me gassy? Is that making me bloated?
I didn't have a problem with any of the 12 Miller Lite that I drank on Saturday.
Now, did you have the Vortex, or did you have the new one
no,
that fits
all,
in the hand nicely?
All cans.
Oh, cans, and you didn't pop the tab.
I liked it in the can.
Yes.
I'm going to take Washington as well, but I'm with Andy on the Eagles. Out of all the teams that I'm sort of really interested in watching, that might be number one in week one. I mean, I don't think they're going to be a very good team, but I'm really intrigued by how they play.
Well, yeah. Based on their defense against the Patriots in practice
I don't think they're going to be very good.
Yeah, I got to go with
Washington. That's why I'm going with Washington.
Although I don't give Washington or Philadelphia a chance in that division.
Really? It's
Monday,
all between Dallas and the Giants, Freddie?
Yep. Monday at 10:20, Houston at San Diego.
Houston by four.
Yeah, I think San Diego's done in this era. I think their era as a playoff contending, you know, Phillip Rivers is good. I think that window has closed. Move on, rebuild, do some new stuff. I'm going to take Houston to get off to a good start on the road. We know that they're a talented football team. Their questions don't come until January when they can prove themselves a legitimate title contender. They win this game on the road, and that's not a tough place to go on the road, in my opinion.
Andy's right. Houston will win and win convincingly, I think, on the road on Monday night. Spotlight opening game. They usually start hot.
Wait,
I think they.
So that's like a 4 o'clock game there.
It's 10:20. So it's 7:20.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You utterly confuse yourself. With that.
I thought he said. I was still thinking it was 7:10.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that's a 4:10 start on a Monday afternoon.
I'm with the boys. I think Houston wins this game. I watched a little of San Diego in a preseason game. They have a strikingly little talent.
Yeah.
Around Phillip Rivers. And I'm not giving Phillip Rivers a pass either. He hasn't played well, but they have no offensive line. They have sketchy receivers. Ryan Matthews, to me, is the ultimate tease. I never liked him coming out. I don't think he's done anything to establish himself. And the defense really isn't very good. So what do they have?
Yeah, I got to go with Houston.
A hothead quarterback.
San Diego is a team of the past. All right, so now we
team
go
of the
back.
Past, I like it.
Now we go back to Sunday at 1, New England at Buffalo. What's the line now, Paul?
9.5.
9.5. Let's make this quick.
Okay, I'll take
John
the Patriots to win. Why, are we in his show?
Oh, yeah. It's like one or two minutes.
We've stepped into the playbook.
We couldn't hear you. You didn't have your mic on.
He said you were always in my show.
I will take the Patriots to win and cover. I think the new passing offense makes plays against a team that is lacking its top corner, its top safety is who knows what, hurt, unhappy, giving up plays on purpose, who knows. And
that's an ugly accusation to throw
around.
He
wants to be traded.
I know, but now you're thinking.
Remember Brandon Marshall batting balls down? He'll do the opposite. Now, he won't bat him down.
But with Brandon Marshall, you had proof that he was actually dumping.
Okay.
That's an ugly accusation to throw
anyway,
around.
Anyway, the only chance the Bills have is obviously turnovers, big plays. They need like 80-yard runs from C.J. Spiller. It may happen once. It's not going to happen enough. I think the Patriots score about 34 points. I'm going to say 34-13 New England.
I don't know if it would be that high yet, but I do like
Mr. Negativity over here. 6-3 Patriots.
Brand new offense. This is the first time they're really
going to
operate
together. Here's your five guys trip right here.
That's right. That's right.
Whoa! Raheem Moore!
I don't get five guys.
He won a bet.
We won a bet with Giardi.
With Giardi for picking
that he hasn't,
the Ravens
yet to
in that
pay
game.
Up.
And I just
I have
said,
a new nickname for him.
I said,
Wes
you actually
Welcher.
Won a bet on that win, on that game last year? And he said, yeah. I said, if I ever lost a bet like that, I think I'd slit a wrist. And the guy just like, I'm the worst safety that's ever played.
Patriots win. They will cover. I will say 27-10.
Okay. I think a lot like Andy, there's a possibility that maybe the Bills make a big play or two, but barring three turnovers, minimum three to keep this game even relatively close, Patriots are never, ever in doubt. 38-14.
Like, okay. Say, three fumbles in the first quarter?
I, too, believe the Patriots will cover, but only by half a point. They win by 10. It's a lower-scoring game than
panic
people think.
Panic in the streets.
Yeah, that's not good.
The Bills' defense comes out motivated week one. And, you know, they keep it
still covered,
somewhat
though.
Close, but they still cover.
Well, he said by 10.
Yeah.
He let off with that.
All right. So now we're moving into the playbook with John Rook. John, how you doing? How was your first day back yesterday?
It was a good day, but I think we
very negative,
folks.
Sean.
Yeah,
we
got a lot of emails about how negative
all the negativity in this town. Yeah. It sucks and it stinks. And it starts with you two, according to the internet.
No, that started with Rick Pitino years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Where'd you hear that?
The internet.
The internet.
And all this negativity that's in this
so
town
what do you got coming up today, John?
Coming up, Eric and I will continue with the negative nabobism.
It's not negative. It's reality.
Nine wins, 10 wins. That's a little negative.
The truth is never mean.
Oh, sure. Mr. Pom-Pom Waiver. Right.
Oh, yeah. He's always
guilty as charged,
guilty
John.
As charged.
That's
right.
Okay. That's a label
what
I've worn.
Supposed to do?
That's
what
a label I've worn proudly for 15 years now. I'm okay with it, John.
Pom-Pom Waiver.
Sunshine.com. Serves me well. Sunshine.com.
Sunshine.
If being accurate with our assessment of the Patriots every year is waving the pom-pom, guilty as charged.
There you go. Hey, I don't want to be right.
That's all we're doing.
If that's wrong,
I don't want to be right. There you go. I like that. All right. So, yes. Big E will be back. We'll dissect and analyze somewhat with the Buffalo game coming up. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com.
Buster Crab
rejoins us. And, of course, absolutely nobody who's listening understands that.
All right.
That comparison.
Well, have a good
And Mike Rodak, who is
brand new ESPN reporter for Buffalo. You should just keep Andy, Eric, and I here to break down the
more of the Bills.
We've seen more Buffalo than he has this year.
All right. Well, that's playbook coming
okay,
up.
And you can come stick around. You can tell him we said that.
Stick around,
Football
then.
Nation at 4. We'll see you next Tuesday. Pre-game social on Sunday.
That street, two streets, I see you and me hanging on the empty swings. Count high, low, don't worry, my eyes are closed. I'm the Superman and it's my show.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.